last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Buzz, do you have a dollar?
I do.
Okay, can everybody see you?
Yes.
Take the dollar bill and stick it between your chin and your chest.
Okay. Done.
Buzz has a dollar bill between his chin and his chest.
Okay, that is Christopher Reeve in a bar.
Okay. You know, when a guy has a good joke, you got to give him his cross.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down.
What?
No, who would you do call?
Oh, really?
Don't call to play the name game.
What?
No calls to rape women.
Oh, really?
Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
What?
And don't call telling jokes.
What? 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 What?
I'm Pebbles. You too, Dino. Daddy's speaking on the radio.
You can get it.
What? What? What?
Move to your left.
What? What? What?
Move to your right.
What? 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 What?
My show. The best thing you're gonna find.
What? What?
The Don and Mike Show.
What? 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 What?
On the radio.
What?
Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What? 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 What?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, when you have the day off Monday, think of this man. The 23rd president of the United States.
Right.
Little known, he served a very short term.
I voted for him twice.
Former president. Bill Hochberg. I've got your mic turned on, Mike.
How come I'm not hearing anything out of Mike's microphone?
Oh, hey, shocker. The studio is not configured correctly.
It never happens.
Why?
I know why.
Why?
Because it's not plugged in.
Okay, plug that in, please. There you go. There you go.
Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
What do you say, fans?
May have died for our sins. He might have served in the Oval Office, but I am never again asking Phil for help on a crossword puzzle.
Why?
I asked him for an 18-letter word for fine cuisine, and he told me it was voodoo doll do da da.
I don't even know what that means.
Again, I'm going to tell you, that is a joke.
Yes.
That's only funny to the three people who are in this room right now.
Absolutely.
Rob, we have 6 million listeners, and every day you come on with a joke that's only funny to three people.
Seriously, think of them now.
Someday they'll all clue in and they'll know and they'll understand.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Christ's sake and all the ships at sea. Hey, they never pay for bloody ass sex. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
No, right. No, it's always on the house.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robin.
Hello for listening, everybody. New episode coming at you. Don and Mike Show still brought to you by the auspices of Westwood One. Say it loud. Say it proud.
Oh, you're killing me.
New episode on Friday. February 16th. Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636.
Welcome to my world.
877-365-3636. That's the number.
Won't you come on in?
Welcome.
Be killing some pigs today.
Miracles, I guess.
Love that last night.
They killed pigs last night?
Oh. You didn't watch it?
No.
You didn't watch The Survivors?
I asked my wife to save it for me.
And?
She failed.
Well.
Leave your cares behind.
She'll learn, won't she?
She's got a sore foot.
Well.
Laura's sore foot is built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
You get that sore foot walking into a door?
Trash can fell on it.
It happened.
Oh, that's an awful accident, Mike. That's too bad that happened.
No, of course not.
Listen, The Survivor last night was actually quite a boring episode, but I did love when they killed the pig.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one they promoed last week where everybody was kind of revolted and right. Several of the Survivor contestants were quite put off by the macho guy that killed the pig.
Yeah, he chased him around. Mm-hmm. He had a knife. The one guy, the brother on the show, was kind of helping him. He held a stick,
mm-hmm.
and he just kind of stood off in the distance and helped block the pathway for the pig.
Right.
And the guy with the knife goes over, and I mean, it was... God, like a slasher movie, like, die. And then he took out all the guts,
mm-hmm.
and he actually took the pig blood and wiped it on his face.
He's a survivor.
Uh-huh. And then they showed the pig, the inside of the pig, that nice big, looked like a rack of ribs, and they had...
Did they enjoy the pig once it was cooked?
Oh, yeah, they loved it.
They loved the pig.
They loved it, and I was so disappointed when I read today that CBS had censored that episode of Survivor, that they wanted to show the pig being killed even more graphically.
Because it's real.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's amazing. But the promo, and you can maybe clear this up for me, was a couple of the women were just like, I'm not going to eat this, right? I mean, didn't that happen? How did that end?
The goddamn, is her name Jenna? Who's the vegetarian? Jenny?
What
her
Jerry?
Name? Jerry. No. Well, all the women on that Coney Island, I get them mixed up, but there's a couple of women who refuse to go along with it, who are like, that's awful. I don't want any part of that.
They didn't eat the pig after that, or what?
Only Kimmy didn't eat the pig, I think, because Kimmy's the vegetarian, right?
Ah.
I don't know which one is which.
Is the same Kimmy that almost screwed the whole tribe because she wouldn't eat the cow's brains?
It's fun to watch her beauty decay. She was all painted up, and she's just a troll.
Yeah. The one tribe, though, that lost again, that had the 7-foot-tall guy who got voted off last night,
right. Mitchell.
That is the lame tribe. I mean, they've...
Oh, yeah. Haven't they lost every immunity challenge?
They're screwed.
The first 3 weeks. And, of course, we have a Survivor treat for you today.
Uh-huh.
It's Mitchell, who was kicked off the island.
And rightly so, I think.
Much like Mad Dog, he's a singer.
Oh, fantastic.
And here's his little song about his experience on Survivor.
A survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife, anticipation of that voting, barely getting by, and your spirit has been broken when you hear Jeff Probst say, hey, the tribe has spoken, survivor's life, waving
to a deadly spider,
right. Well, you'd think that I could find a ruin, maybe ride her. It's a quick man's game. You gotta moderate the sass. And you must remember, out of wit, out play, out last.
Oh, Christ, is it any wonder they just didn't vote him off on day one?
Well, isn't he the guy that, like, throughout the entire first three episodes, he's ready for collapse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's emaciated to start with, and he was just, completely out of it.
For the first time last night on Survivor, it was overtime.
Right.
Where they voted, uh-huh. and it was a tie.
Between him and the chef, right?
Yeah, so
right.
they voted again.
Right.
And it was a tie again.
You see, I got to thank my wife because she really gave me an extraordinarily detailed recap because she's totally into the show. As she was bandaging her foot.
And it's a trash can that somehow fell on her.
Yes, with the tears streaming down her face. Yeah. And she said that apparently they went to two overtimes, right?
Two overtimes, and they were still deadlocked. So then they went to, like, who knows? They got a rule book somewhere.
Right.
And whoever had received the most votes in previous shows was voted off. And
Mitchell had received one, and the other chef hadn't gotten any.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that, if you missed Survivor last night, the only good part that you missed was the slaughtering of the pig.
The pig. And the chef would be not long for this world. Would you get that impression? I mean, he's next to go if they lose another immunity. Or is he a Richard Hatch?
Yeah, I would have bet the farm last night that they would keep the skinny guy before they let the chef go.
Right.
But, no, it was the skinny guy.
Yeah.
So who knows? And, you know, and there's all those alliances that are forming with people lying to each other. And,
right.
And meanwhile, you know, the other tribe, they're just kicking ass and taking names. I mean, they're over there killing pigs. They're eating. They're having a great time. They win every goddamn immunity challenge. They win every goddamn game.
That Raj, the old man in that tribe, is a very fortunate soul because, I mean, he's been kind of helped along with the immunity
challenge. With a good group there. Yeah.
The Survivor Gang. Well, I'm no longer there, but it's so, so great that I had a chance to be there.
What if I did it to the tune of 9 to 5? One of my favorite movies.
Jesus, what an embarrassment.
I loved all of them. I loved Lily Tomlin, Dolly Parton,
Jane Fonda.
Just a fantastic cast.
And when they hooked Abney Coleman up to the garage door opener, well, I just about peed in my drawer.
He was such a hetero pig.
It's survivor time. There's no taking and no giving. I'll have ass.
Hey, I guess we can't. We said it this week with your check. I've got that on the brain.
I'll have ass sex now, and there'll be some bleeding.
Oh, God.
Because I like it there. Come on now, I'm not heaving. That's where I have hair.
All the other boys will be seething.
A survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife. Dissipation of that voting, barely getting by, and your spirit has been broken when you hear Jeff Probst say, "Hey, the tribe has spoken."
Oh, God.
Survivor's life.
Oh, my God.
Waving to a deadly spider. Well, you'd think that I could find a ruin.
You want to accompany him, Mike?
It's a quick man's game. You gotta moderate the fast. And you must remember, outwit, outplay, outlast.
Yeah, right. That fart by Mike was brought to you by Egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet. So, yeah, Survivor was okay last night. The pig killing was keen.
Kill the pig.
And beyond that, I don't know. I'm not as hepped up about it as I was last year.
No.
You know, I'm in a rut with the show. It's like, you know, they're going to have to do more stuff like killing of the pig to keep me interested.
Maybe kill each other.
Maybe
that would regenerate your interest in the show.
Maybe,
reinvigorate.
Maybe kill that guy. Well, they're killing me now, and my God, I can't breathe. Yes, they're killing me now, and they're dragging me through the leaves. I'm going to be dead now. Oh, woe with me. Whatever you do, please don't eat me.
Jesus. At least not when I'm dead.
Yeah, I don't know. What, Survivor? Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I'm just not hepped up about it like I was last night.
It's just more of the same.
Perhaps
said the same thing, that it wasn't that good an episode last night.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
How about them guys giving him such a hard time, giving Mike a hard time last week, saying what a dumb idea it was to kill the pig.
Right.
And then this week, Mike kills the pig, everybody's standing around waiting for some.
Yeah, well, of course, they're starving. They've been there like 9 days or something with nothing to eat.
Well, they're a-holes. I mean, they're sitting there saying, what a dumb idea. Mike will never get a pig, and then Mike provides the pig.
Well, I think that we all can agree. They are selfish a-holes. That's why they're on the show in the first place.
That's right.
Except for that guy, Raj. That guy, Raj, I don't know. He did it for... I'd like to get inside of his head and find out why he did it. Because he doesn't come across like every other person that's there who is really just so me-oriented. Raj just kind of seems like a really nice guy.
Maybe they were looking for one guy like that.
They probably found one guy that would not have made the cut under ordinary circumstances. They just plugged him in there. But everybody else, they're the most self-absorbed people you'll ever see in your lives. I mean, you know, what, these people, they abandon their families, they go to this island for a while, and then they just do this cutthroat thing for a few days.
Well, I'm on the island, and wow, I miss the high hard one. Oh, I can't wait to get back. So that I can get the high hard one.
High Hard One. Use High Hard One twice there. Yes, sir.
I couldn't think of anything to rhyme with High Hard One.
That's A-OK. You can use High Hard One twice.
On survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife, anticipation of that boat.
A survivor's life, working hard every day. A survivor's life, I wonder if they know I'm gay.
Broken survivor's life.
Oh, I miss my man's bunghole. A survivor's life. Oh, I love that man's bunghole.
Quick man's game, he gotta moderate the sass. And you must remember,
or I'll take it in the ass.
I don't know. You know, I was so bored at one point, I flipped over to Friends.
Yeah.
And they had old hagged out Susan Sarandon.
Right.
Who was getting it on with Joey.
Really?
Yeah.
She can look good or bad.
Well,
she has her day. Sometimes she looks absolutely outstanding.
She got two things going for her. Even
she does.
Even as old as she is.
Yes, she does, Don.
She's got a great set of lungs.
Ah, the lemons.
But she was, she's old. I mean, how old is Susan Sarandon?
Well, Atlantic City is when she was a turbo hottie. When she made Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster, and she did the thing with the lemons in her breasts. And how old is that movie? That movie's got to be
15, 20 years
20
old.
20 years old, at least.
Something like that. 20. So, you know, I went back and forth. After the Kill the Pig, I went back to Friends, and they were doing, you know, wacky outtakes
right.
of Friends.
Is that what they add the 10 minutes to?
Yeah, they didn't have Saturday Night Live last night. They had the wacky outtakes. And the wacky outtakes, of course, are not really wacky outtakes.
It's pretty amazing that the networks really are almost like, you can almost make it like look like the stock market with the cyclical thing where, and you had said this before, the economy goes in cycles and it doesn't matter who's in office. I agree with that. And I think TV shows are the same. Network shows are the same. They go through cycles where all of a sudden they have their hit shows and they usually have two or three at the same time and they can do no wrong. And then those shows run their course, and if they hang on to them and they try to, like, stretch it out, they start dying. And it looks like that's what must-see TV is having.
Oh, yeah, that's death. I mean, I got news for you. That's death.
Yeah.
They should book this guy in Will and Grace.
On Survivor's Life.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
I like Will, but not Grace. Oh, I'd love to have Will sit on my face. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hi.
How's it going?
Just fine. And Frasier, too. He's so dreamy. And his brother, Niles. Oh, he's very creamy.
Did you see the part last night when the Kuchar tribe was eating the pig where one of the guys said, once you go black, you'll never go back? Once you go dark meat, you'll never go back?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't fall on the floor laughing.
I didn't think it was that great, but you see the chick behind him?
Oh, Rob did. Okay. Rob was exaggerating. Rob was being sarcastic.
Okay, hello.
We've heard that before.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I had a question. Why is it that they killed the cock instead of one of the hens? I mean, it seems like if, you know, they would have left the cock alive, that they would have had some eggs.
You know, I don't know why they killed the cock.
Hens lay eggs even without a rooster, I believe.
That's true, and without the cock, the eggs will never be fertilized, so they won't hatch. They won't have time to raise chickens anyway. The hens will still lay. The cock will not lay, though.
So, in other words, the cock doesn't impregnate a hen for eggs. It's not like the hen just lays eggs no matter what.
Right.
Can a hen be born and just lay eggs right from the get-go?
Has to mature.
Hey, once you mature,
but,
yes.
But there's absolutely no need to kill the cock. Oh, I love the cock, so hide him in my sock.
So they ate him.
Hey, you guys are great. Y'all Thank take you. Care, all right?
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, listen, the Bloom.
Yeah, what an idiot I feel like.
The Bloom is off the rose on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I really, growing up in a somewhat rural area, I feel like an absolute moron for not knowing that. I didn't know that hens just laid eggs no matter, you know, I too thought that maybe they needed a rooster.
What, like that the rooster, the cock had to come over and had to,
I thought there was some
shoot his stuff.
Do. So the rooster, if the rooster gets to the hen, then the
please, Mike, refer to him as the cock.
The cock, if the cock gets to the hens, then the hens will lay eggs with little chicks in them.
The eggs are fertilized.
But otherwise,
and
they'll be sunny side up.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, in other words, when you're eating an egg,
mm-hmm.
you're really technically not eating a little chicken.
Unless you buy free-range, you know, eggs from free-range farmers.
Then it's like you're eating a fetus.
Yeah, have you ever gotten, like, a little red stringy?
I'm not kidding, Mike.
Yeah, I have. It's like you're
fertilized
eating...
Fertilized egg.
That's right. A fertilized egg?
Right. Yeah, it's... You're eating a fetus.
Oh, my God.
I don't see a problem. You eat chicken all the time. You're just eating a very, very young, tender chicken.
Yeah, but it's just something...
yeah, okay, you're an animal. You disgust me.
Bring it.
Go away.
Me.
Made me late already.
Yes. Hello, room service. I would like a fetus Benedict, please.
Oh,
I would like a scrambled fetus.
Oh, God, no. I hate that. You're hugging me.
Fetus over...
Hey, it's a fact.
I know.
It's a fact.
Well, not all of it. I mean, most of them aren't.
Yes, but like Buzz said, occasionally you see...
The spot.
A leaven.
It's a spot, right?
Yeah.
A little red spot.
It's a red spot.
The beginning of a chicken.
Okay.
Right.
That's right. You're all very cruel men.
Mr. Vegetarian.
That's right. I'm a vegan, Don.
Excuse me.
I'm a vegan. I'm going to be a vegan tonight.
Hello,
I'm
Don and Mike.
Porterhouse vegan.
Hey. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Thought I'd give you guys a little hint on Susan Sarandon's age.
Yes.
Anybody there remember that movie Joe from the 60s with Peter Boyle?
No.
Brains might.
Brains, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I remember the movie vaguely.
Anyway, Susan Sarandon played his daughter.
Buzz, you remember Birth of a Nation, though, don't you?
Yes.
It was a good movie.
Hey, listen,
too.
Buzz was there when the guy invented the motion picture camera.
That's right. Buzz, you know, interned with Leni Riefenstahl.
You're not going anywhere with the name Joe, are you, sir?
No. I'm not one of those guys.
Okay.
No,
just making sure.
He had to be 20 in that movie, and that movie came out in 67, and Jimi Hendrix wrote the, "Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand?"
Right.
That was part of the soundtrack.
All right, thank you, my friend.
She's 55. Susan Sarandon is 55.
Yeah. Buzz remembers the days when he was hanging around with Thomas Edison, and Thomas Edison looked at him and said, "Sir?"
He and I went to the theater and saw Nosferatu. Loved it. It was great.
Hey, listen, don't discount that time that Buzz out flying kites with Ben Franklin.
Oh, man, was that scary.
Jesus, what the hell happened to you, Ben? I already did say, you know what, those are cool glasses, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy a pair of those glasses, and someday when I'm on a radio show, I'm going to wear them to read the news.
They said, "Do you shave your head?"
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey, my friend.
You know, to be more accurate, the eggs that you're eating are actually chicken menstruations. The ones that didn't quite make it every month and such.
I am...
Are you a medical doctor?
No, but my...
But you play one on TV.
No, I would stick by my original diagnosis that you're eating fetuses.
Well, no, if a fetus wants it's
Excuse
fertilized,
me.
What you're eating is the unfertilized
feti?
Egg.
You're eating feti, yes.
Yeah, that's feti. A menstruation.
Feti might have something to do with fetid, though, and then we get into a whole different area.
Fetid feti.
Fetid feti.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Christina Aguilera.
I'm going to say that the next time I'm having breakfast, I'm going to send it back and go, "Remove this fetid feti."
Hello.
I want to kill that bitch Kimmy and eat her.
Listen, she's not looking too good after 3 weeks on that island.
Oh, she's tattered. And you see her and that trainer girl get into a brawl next week.
Oh, wow.
They did tease ahead to that next week.
Like physical confrontation?
Yeah, like the two of them, like, slapping each other and stuff.
Whoa.
She's pointing her finger at her saying, "I'm tired of that chicken. Get over it."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, you talking to me? You talking to me?" She's like, "I'll come to your face, bitch."
Jerry's no prize.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
I do not like Jerry. I mean, mm-hmm. Jerry is the nastiest person on that island.
Yep. But this guy Mitchell...
It's not an island either. I keep saying it's an island.
Well, it's a big island.
And I've heard them say that technically it's an island.
Mm-hmm. Really? So there is water.
Australia is surrounded by water, and they're by water. So technically, you know, they're still being kicked off the island.
Our survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife.
Jeez. And my testicles are bloating,
barely getting by, and your spirit has been broken.
My only question is, where are the men on this island?
Survivor's life, waving to a deadly spider.
God, I miss my man.
Find a
big hard hammer.
Quick man's game, he gotta moderate the sass. And you must remember
that I like it up there.
God, moderate the sass.
Mitchell. and, you know, while I complained about the fact that they did edit out the pig slaughter.
Right, quite a bit of it.
I also heard when this Mitchell guy was on the CBS Good Morning Show. That, they,
with Brian Cumble and Jane Clayson?
Yes. Thank God they did edit out. He, when he sang that song on TV this morning, he said that his luxury item that he brought was a book of campfire sing-along songs.
Oh, brilliant. God.
And that most nights, he and Mad Dog would lead the rest of the tribe in singing songs. And he said, and you never got to see that. They never they never showed those moments.
Because it was so boring.
Right.
That's why they're gone.
And well, hey, for your luxury items, is it anything you want?
Could you bring a rifle?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know about a rifle.
My luxury item is a .45 and a full clip. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey.
I wanted to scoop Buzz.
All right, go ahead.
We just bombed Baghdad, buddy.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, that's a couple hours old, but thanks.
You really heard it on the news. What's that? Well,
just heard about it on the news.
Yes, and they've been repeating it on the news every 5 minutes for the last couple of hours.
We cannot give you credit for a scoop, sir, because that is an old story.
That is old news.
Thank you.
They actually had a press conference at the Pentagon.
No $1.06 for you, buddy.
Right, I'm sorry, you don't get the news tip of the week. I think we're working out a deal to have an exclusive link to the White House.
Oh, good.
To talk to President Bush about this action against Iraq. You know, I don't know, I saw the dude on TV, the general, with that incredible
rooster neck and the Adam's apple.
Yeah.
Right. Adam's apple that you could really, I mean, you use like a trampoline.
It was the general Bobby Knight.
Well, that's what I thought it was.
No, the guy, he had a map up there, and they were showing the, you know, whatever the no-fly zone is.
Right, right. Like, that little strip and stuff. Yeah. And
somebody went in the no-fly zone, or they had some radar set up or something.
Have some anti-aircraft activity that was getting more sophisticated.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we blowed him up real good.
That's good. Bush will clear it up for us.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike. He couldn't wait.
Newsflash.
You know he couldn't wait.
I don't know whether that's true or not.
Come on.
I think he's a responsible man.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Newsflash.
Yes.
Bush was elected.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Bye. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, there's an article in the Bee today, Sacramento Bee, and it's about the submarine that was sunk there. Or the submarine that sunk that ship.
Yeah.
And it says that this one paragraph says about, you know, 14 of the 16 were donors to a fund, blah, blah, blah. And the last sentence of that paragraph says the two others were a sports writer and his wife.
Are you thinking the name, sir?
Hey, and this was Honolulu.
The initials RM mean anything.
Oh,
man, do you know, really, wouldn't that be something?
Goddamn.
Wouldn't that be great?
A sports writer and his wife.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't he be the kind of guy?
The 16 were donors to a fund to restore the USS Missouri.
What? Wasn't it the week after the Pro Bowl?
There's not a tip.
Just, it's in that... In that vacation range, huh?
Do you think there's a chance it was... Listen, how would Rudy Martsky ever get invited on a nuclear submarine?
Well, if it was a schmooze...
He was on the Coast Guard.
And if it was some kind of schmooze, hey, would you like... And it's a sports writer.
How you doing? Hey, what does this button do?
Rudy, we're going down on a nuclear submarine. Would you like to join us?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Mouse. Come on, there. They got any wine on the sub?
I know one thing. Rudy would be nowhere near the periscope, because doesn't that require depth perception?
Oh, that's right, with his crazy eye.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe he was steering, and that's why he got a mile to go.
Oh, hey, and speaking of wine, we got a thief here at the radio station.
Yes, we do.
Some guy sent Mike and I a case of wine last week. I don't know who it was. I'll give him a thank you when I get the letter out here in a second. But there was like 12 bottles of wine. So we each took what we liked, and we never did anything with it. Mike's wine is sitting on the coffee table in our office, and the bottles of wine that I had selected were sitting on my desk in the office. Mm-hmm. And Rob came in today, and we were chatting, and I said, Rob, didn't there used to be four bottles of the red wine sitting on the desk?
Yeah, we each took four bottles, right?
Yeah, well, two of the bottles are missing.
The good ones, right? The ones you picked out, the ones you really wanted.
Yeah, the stuff that Frida likes, the Merlot.
Right.
Right.
Something's gone missing.
Who stole our wine?
Somebody has our wine, and we want it back.
Yeah, who stole our wine? I wonder who stole our wine.
What if there are any rumors? You know, well, there'll be a small reward, and that reward will be our enduring friendship.
Yeah. Turn them in. Rat somebody out around here.
Absolutely.
I want about ratting somebody out. The sales guy, Colin, He called today to tell Mike, his best friend, that yesterday when Laura, the girl from the dream date, was in, that apparently she asked Colin for his phone number.
Yeah. And he was calling because, you know, first of all, the guy can't tell the difference between the two of us when he calls the office. So he gets on with Don and he says, Mike.
Every time he calls, I pick up the phone and go, hello. He goes, hey, Mike. I go, no, it's Don. Just a moment.
And then Don puts me on and I get on the phone and he says, Don, I said, no, this is Mike. And so then he said,
and doesn't he always think that it's either me or you're still goofing him?
And today I got mad at him. I said, you know, just figure out which one it is when you're talking to us. Will you do that for the love of God?
You may want to question Colin about that missing wine, because I know most people that work here could just buy wine, but he doesn't have that privilege yet because he's only 17 years old.
He's a very young man.
What, Lisa?
I just thought it was interesting. Somebody told me about that, and I kind of chuckled and said, well, don't, you know, tell him, you know, don't be too flattered. She's interested in getting a sales job here, so she's trying to kind of network.
Oh, you mean the girl Laura?
Yeah.
So that maybe she really wasn't interested in Colin?
Lisa, don't you have sort of a history with Colin? Hasn't Colin pestered you a little bit?
Oh, come on now. Hey, come on. You got to be honest. You hate him, right?
I don't hate him.
Hasn't Colin been a little smitten with you, though?
I mean, this is not
you saying this. This is what people have said. That he hangs around you, right?
Yeah, when we were on...
Come on. Hey, don't give us the finger.
Oh,
we're just asking you to repeat stuff that you repeated in private.
Sorry about that.
In private.
I didn't know that was a secret. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, there is no secret. Just was hanging around a bit.
He annoys you. Well, does he?
No.
No, he doesn't. So what you're saying is it's okay for him to come
around?
Here's
Charles Broyles. Maybe he can shed some light on
it. It's okay for Colin to come around?
Good. Hold on. Here's Charlie.
I just don't want her to be afraid to say yes if he annoys you. You've told me he does.
You tell everybody that he annoys you.
Well, I do not.
You said to me out in the hallway when I was going to get him and his buddy in Crap, the band, you said, stay away. No, for the love of God, don't do it.
And you've told me he hangs around all the time.
Well, come in
and you know, Lisa,
behind you.
But Don, what did I say to you in the office today after that phone call?
You said Lisa was right.
I said Lisa showed good judgment there.
Well, thank you.
Very good judgment. I said I will give Lisa her props for that because she really, you know, suggested that.
Let me see if he's in the building. Let's just call him in here.
He was a pain today. So he was calling me to ask me today, because as soon as I asked him about maybe being in the band, now he's calling me a lot. And so he said, how did it go on the dream date between Colin?
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, it's Don and Mike. Will you come in here for a second?
Come on in here, Colin.
Yeah, sure, I'll be there in a minute.
All right, come on.
So he was calling me to find out how the date went.
Lisa, don't go anywhere, honey.
He was calling me to find out how the date went.
And Charlie, don't go anywhere either.
Between Mr. Perfect and Laura.
No, Charlie, come in here.
No, I think he's going to get him.
No, he's going to eat.
Come on now, Lisa.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Colin. Let's give him a nice round of applause.
Colin's a sales guy. How you doing, Colin?
How's it going? Now, Colin, can you first of all just clear this thing up that Rob said? You are indeed over the age of 17, right?
Well, just barely.
Yeah. Okay, how old are you?
18.
Come on, really.
I'm 21.
You're 21. Yeah.
21 is probably definitely our youngest
sales guy.
Yeah. But, okay.
And the girl, Laura, who won the dream date?
Mm-hmm.
She asked for your name and number?
No, actually, I had called back and said, you know, I'd like to give you a holler. She gave me her number.
No, wait, hold on.
Now, when you said, that when you spoke to me on the phone, you said she gave you her number. You weren't being square with me on that.
No, I was being completely legit.
You called her first?
What happened was I was talking to her right before the show started.
Right. 21-year-old hormones.
And we were, what can I say, you know? Actually, you know, I didn't have any bad intentions in talking. I was just,
hold on.
So anyway.
Did you approach her first or did she approach you?
Actually, there was no approaching. I was actually just sitting out front waiting for Libby.
Let's wipe the slate. Let's erase the chalkboard right now. How did her phone number get in your possession? Take us through how that happened.
Well, I had talked to her, and I had to take off to go to an appointment. And I figured, Libby talked me into the fact that I shouldn't leave a good thing hanging, essentially.
So you asked her for her phone. Oh, you called her.
I called in the office, and Colette put me through a door, and I got the number. I said, hey, I'd like to give you a call.
So you pursued her a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
okay, right. Then you lied to Mike when you said that she asked you for your phone number.
Yeah, no.
When you talked to me, all you told me was that she gave you her phone number. And the way I interpreted our conversation is that she just sort of handed it
to you. So, I mean, when I heard that, it sounded to me, really, I mean, I'm just telling you how I perceived our conversation. That's when I got off the phone with you, it sounded to me like Laura was walking down the hallway and went, Colin, here's my phone number.
Wouldn't that be nice if everybody
but that? Because that's the only part you included.
So you actually pursued her?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Now, what about your pursuit of Lisa?
Now, this I heard. This kind of agitated. Well, not agitated. It was somewhat upsetting because I... All right, so look, I'm a nice guy. I like to go around and meet people. I like to have friends, right?
You
so,
were very... first time I met you, I thought you were a nice guy. And,
thanks.
You know, and then I heard... Well, Lisa.
Well, they're restraining order. Well, never mind. But
no, come on now, listen. And Lisa.
In all honesty, I have not in any way tried to, you know, pursue Lisa. As
hold
you
on, Charlie.
Put it.
Charlie, come on in here.
Come here.
She's in there on the
I know the word
she's
hover.
Like, I say hi.
The word hover has been used about you a lot.
Hover, is it?
Yes.
Really?
Does Colin hover over Lisa?
Not so much anymore. There were times when events were going on, he was just hanging out back there, and I'd ask Lisa, is he waiting for something?
Oh, I know what Lisa told me about you.
Oh, my God. Now I remember.
Okay, I got it. Hold on. Okay, now I got it.
Me.
I know what it was. Here's what. Here's the thing about Colin. She said, the last time you guys had a day off, like for MLK Day,
right?
When she was in here running the board,
yeah,
that Colin would just come in and sit down.
Well, you told me that. That's
what?
Right.
He would just come sit down in that chair and, like, put his feet up and go, hey, okay, baby, what's happening? You know, and she said to me, you know, hey, I'm trying to do my job, and the guy's in here like going, hey, baby, what's happening?
But, you know, it does seem to me that she is very disturbed at these revelations.
She is.
Which, you know, which I think, frankly, is not a bad sign for you, Colin.
Well, thank you, Mike. And, right. I mean, you know, I guess I would have to be something less than, you know, a guy to not be somewhat attracted to Lisa, sure. Right. But
of course.
Once I found out that she had a boyfriend, you know, I respected that. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not...
Well, now, Lisa, what about all
I
this...
I got a job to do here anyway, first and foremost.
What right. about all this stuff you've been telling us about him? Really?
Like what?
Well, like...
say anything.
All right, like, for instance...
I did come in
when you
MLK Day.
When you warned Mike... about getting involved with him in the band.
Remember when, and that was now remember when we were talking out in the hallway, and you just, I mean, and it was just between me and Colin, and you had overheard it, and you said something like, no.
No, no.
Don't lie.
Oh,
be
God.
Honest, I think you owe it to young Colin here.
I mean, you know.
I just said he's a young guy, I don't think he would fit in.
All right, what about when you...
Oh, that is so not true.
What about when you told me what a pain in the ass he is, like coming in here and bothering you?
Did I bother you, really? I mean, well, if I did, I can handle that. I apologize if I
well, just maybe the timing was off because I was always on a commercial break trying to time
that's,
it out.
That's cool. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. And I didn't say anything to anybody about this. And I got a word from upper management to tell them if he did come back in here again.
I had no idea it was that.
Hey, serious. Let me know if...
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Wait, upper management? Now we're getting heavy here. What's this?
You said... I didn't say anything about this.
I mean, it wasn't a big deal, you know? Whatever.
Colin, stay on microphone,
please. This was over the holiday break over Christmas, New Year's, or something like that. And somebody in management came to me and said, let me know if he comes into the studio again because he can't. And I hadn't said anything to anybody.
Now, was that just a generic salesperson hanging around the studio too much, or was that anything more sinister?
I mean,
like perhaps, you know,
isn't he the
harassment stalker?
Isn't he the only one who comes in here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So who was the person in management that came to you and said that?
Yeah.
Jim McClure?
Oh.
It was Jim. I thought you said it was management.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody in...
Well, listen.
Well, Jim McClure, I got news for you. Jim McClure was saying that to you just so he could be the... listen, he's bothering you. Let me know.
He comes up to me and says, you know, hey, let me know. This can't go on. Okay. But I didn't say anything.
So wait, let me ask you, now getting back to now, the spotlight must go on Mr. McClure, okay, who is really the most serious horn doggy on the face of the planet.
Oh, go. Hold on, man.
Here's the call.
Hello.
Going.
Hello.
I
bet you were 2 inches from your radio while this discussion was taking place.
How did you hear that Colin was bothering Lisa?
I saw it. Entire holiday, every time I'd walk by, Colin would be sitting there chewing on a cigar like Tim McWilliams, the young Tim McWilliams protege, and just sitting there talking to Lisa because he had nothing else to do, I guess. And I just mentioned to Lisa, hey, if he's getting to be on your nerves, let me know, and I'll ask him not to come around here because he shouldn't be in here.
But, Jim, let's be honest, that's really kind of like your territory, isn't it?
That is. I was very jealous.
All right. Thank you. I'll go.
Blame me?
I'll go, go.
I'll go.
Well, listen, just tell the guy once and for all. I mean, you're sitting here. You know, I'm going to be pissed at you if when he leaves during the next break, if you say, like, oh, I'm so mad at you, but he's such an a-hole.
He's not an a-hole.
Really quick.
Go ahead, Colin.
I'm not the most, what's the word? I don't see everything that's going on that well. I'm ready.
What was that, Rob? What did you
say? Oh, pretty. Not nearly as pretty as you, Rob.
I don't have the looks that Rob has. But
I'm not always aware of what's going on. You know, sometimes I space out a bit. Well, Lisa, I apologize if I was pissing somebody off.
Lisa, listen to that, Lisa.
That was not my intent.
Listen to the lad.
Now, would you like to tell him?
This kind of all ties. Hold on.
I can't help it, Rob. I like young Colin. I always have.
Watch it, Mike. You've been warned about it.
I know I've been warned about it. Colin, stay away from me. All right? I'm saying it formally right now. I said I like you, but and as far as crap, nothing. We're not having any more contact.
Once and for all, tell Colin what kind of relationship you envision having with him.
He's a young man, 21 years of age.
Come on,
just I mean, filled with hormones.
What kind of relationship I'd like to have with him?
Yes.
Hey, exactly. Colin, how you doing?
Okay. No. You owe him, you know, just
the explanation.
And look at him.
Set the rules, the guidelines.
Look at him.
Look at him.
Hi.
I mean, be more explicit with him.
Look him in the eye and tell him exactly what the rules are.
Okay. If they're on vacation, I'm in here running the board. It is distracting when there's company.
What about when you're answering the phones?
It's really hectic.
What about if you see Colin, say you're coming back from one of your smoking breaks, and you see Colin in the hallway, and was I not supposed to say that either? I'm sorry.
Was that
when you go out for a stick of gum? I didn't know that was a stick. I'm really not trying to bust your
chops.
Actually,
my mom's homesick, so it should be okay.
Okay, all right. Like you're walking down the hallway, and Colin happens to be going out for a bathroom break, and you see him in the hallway, and both of you have 5 minutes.
We chat. Is it still okay for Colin to chat with you? Yeah.
Even though now he
not
probably... What's that?
Just not when I'm working.
When you're working.
Right. Okay, no, wait a minute. Hold on. But technically, during the show, even if you're walking down the hall, you're working, aren't you?
You're right, yeah. So, during the hallway, during the show.
When the show is on the air, is that...
When the show's on the air, when I'm in there, you know how the phones go, and you know how many idiots I have to deal with. It's very stressful, and then I have people talking, and I'm here, and it's just better that I'm left alone.
All right, Colin, why don't you leave just for a moment so we can speak to Lisa in private.
Thank you.
Stand by.
Yeah, you'll have a chance.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't worry.
Why are you so afraid to tell him?
Because I'm...
Is there something there?
No. Well, then why... You know what you're doing. You're
really giving... I mean, you're making more of a...
Okay. All right. He can hear me in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he can hear you. So say what you really think.
I think... Can I just say before you make your final decision here? He's a nice boy.
Oh, shut up. Tell him what you really think.
He's a great guitarist.
Tell him what you really think.
Nice guy. Just a little hovery.
A little clingy.
Yeah, a little too much... Hey, what's going on? Let's be friends. What are you doing? What's going on?
Good quality in a salesperson. Aggressiveness.
But we're programming.
Right.
We're the programming department.
Right. Listen, I'm with you all the way.
I don't know why she just doesn't have the balls to say what she really thinks.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Feeling? What do you think she thinks?
Well, I know she just said I don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right.
I know what she thinks.
Yeah.
She's told me.
Uh-huh.
I know what you think of him. Now, why is this such a problem?
Because I don't want to be a bitch.
Well, be honest.
Okay, he's hovery. He's clingy.
All right.
Do you wish he would leave you alone?
Sometimes, yes.
But not all the time?
When?
So you're telling him there's a...
Yeah, see, that's where you're leaving.
Yes, for what?
That's where you're leaving the door open.
Friendship. There is no door.
Friendship. I think Colin doesn't. He just wants a friend.
Do you want it? So it's okay if Colin's your friend.
Colin is a friend.
If a bunch of people were going out from the station that worked here, a bunch of single people were going out for like a dinner or a drink after work, and Colin was in that group and you were in that group, would that be okay with you?
That's fine. Just don't talk to me.
Ah.
Okay.
There's the honest.
Okay, you know what? She just does not have the balls to tell the guy.
Well, I think she just did.
Hey, yeah. Colin, come here. I can make it real
quick. Let's get Colin back in here.
Colin.
Let's bring Colin back in.
I think I can do this in four words. Four simple words that will end his quest of you.
Well, I was trying to guess the words.
Colin,
where is he at? He might have left the building. You know, he might have been real upset. He was carrying out, putting up a brave front in here, but you probably just broken him in.
And you, I've never known. Where did this shy side come from?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I just have one goal in this whole thing. I don't want old Colin to look too bad here.
All right, Colin.
Yes.
No chance for coitus.
That's fine. You know,
okay?
No coitus.
No chance for coitus.
All right, with that said, let me just say, I was not looking for coitus.
Oh, right.
I was the first time, but...
Colin, now, we're all being honest here.
Right.
You're 21 years old. You're always looking for coitus.
And look at her.
That's what 21-year-olds do.
Look at how do you think she looks today?
Pretty.
Are you saying if given the opportunity you wouldn't want to have coitus with her?
Not now.
Oh, yeah.
Too much, no.
She stomped on your heart.
I don't want to have blood with anybody. And, obviously, really, I had no idea.
Take personality out of it.
What's going on?
Let's say you gave her the date rape drug.
Oh, God.
Like the guy took
on,
the other
man.
Day.
Yeah.
That's twisted. That's sinister.
I know.
That's foul.
But would you?
Of course
I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't even.
Great.
What?
He's a straight guy. I mean, hello?
We have a high opinion of ourselves.
She was into you and he's a straight guy. And she's like pointing at her boobs and pointing at her hips like, look at me. What guy doesn't want to have coitus
with
me?
That just came out of nowhere, that one right there. You just gave a little, look at me.
Look at this. What man doesn't want this?
Well, look, I got some calls to make because, I got to do something to bring in some money for the station. So
right, okay.
Let me just say, last thing, I really wasn't going that angle. I apologize.
Oh, you're lying.
I had no idea that talking to somebody was that bad.
Listen, when a single guy... Hold on.
Ever again. No more talking.
Hold on.
No more talking.
Ever.
I've been married...
When I was saying hi, that meant that I was a
okay, listen.
That's cool.
I've been married 20 years, but I still know when a single guy talks to a single girl and bugs a single girl, he wants coitus.
Really?
Coitus is at the end of that. That's coitus lane.
Listen to this man. He knows from where he talks. And, you might not even think of it. It might be not, processed that way. But believe me, in there, it's all about coitus.
Why else would you waste? Why? Really? Like what? Like, no offense. She's such a great conversationalist.
Want to know what it is? Honestly?
Like you don't look at her?
You hit the nail on the head with terms of not having a whole ton of friends. I have very few friends. I hold them dear to me. So when I meet somebody that's cool, I like to hang out and talk to them. I pester the crap out of the other salespeople.
And thought of getting in her pants never crossed your mind?
I told you before, it did the first few times it mattered, but once I knew that she had a boyfriend, that I'm way beyond that. That's not the most important thing in life.
That's his story, and he's going to stick by it.
All right, thank you.
I wish I could prove it to you one day in more detail. Maybe.
All right, thank you, Colin. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
There you go. See you later, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, how was the
drug? It was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Good appearance, Colin. Good job.
Okay. That was extremely fun.
Well, come on. What do you mean?
It's just sometimes, it'll make your job around here easier.
Okay.
It'll all be
fine. Okay, I tell you what, let's make a deal.
All right.
If you don't want us to bring this up on the air anymore, you're not allowed to bitch to anybody about Colin anymore.
Okay, fair.
Okay?
So I'll still bitch, but...
No. See, you can't bitch about him off the air.
Well, now she can.
Now it's all out.
And
I can say, then there's nothing I can say that'll change anything.
Yeah, because, forever now we ever see, there's your favorite person walking down the hallway.
My best friend, BFF.
Colin Coitus. All right, well, thank you, Lisa.
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, right. This is the issue she gets pissed about.
Jesus. Oh, he's interesting.
That went well.
I'm crazy about the kid.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. I know you're not.
Because that assessment of clingy, even though... But I went to Colin, and wanted him to... He has a background in the music business, where he's got some young guys that play keyboards, and we're trying to get a keyboard player for crap, and he was out in the hallway, and you were there when that happened.
I know.
She followed me into the studio and
she said, listen, whatever you do, Mike.
Yes.
Anyway. Watch it.
Warning, Robinson. Danger.
He's a bad dude. I mean, she didn't say he's a bad dude.
No,
like
never said
he's
that.
A bad person.
I think clingy. Maybe the word clingy might have been used.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you made that bet. Now you're lying it, Lisa.
You know, we gave you the chance to just to take care of him once and for all with the gigantic fly swatter. But you let the bug live. You know, you could have just picked his wings off one at a time and
right.
put him under a magnifying glass and just burned him and made sure he wouldn't bother you anymore.
It could have been very quick.
Yeah.
Painless.
And keep in mind, Lisa, you know what Monday is? President's Day. You know what that is? Day off for the Don and Mike show. So Colin Coitus, be advised, should be in here alone.
Yeah, just stay at the window. Just look at her, you know, with that hurt look on your face.
This is clear the lines now. Time for a call 100.
Tim McWilliams protege.
A prize package selected especially for you and a chance to win $500 with the secret song. Be the 100th person to call, the very shy Lisa. The Lisa, the very, very, please, doesn't want to say anything bad about anybody.
That's
Lisa.
Correct.
That's our Lisa. 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
Better than sex and steak. It's Don and Mike.
I promise I'm not going to beat a dead horse on this. We got done with the last break.
Right.
Mike went out. Rob was in here. Roy Hill walks in. I'm talking to Rob, and I said, yeah, you know, I just can't believe that Lisa wasn't honest on the air. And she caught me. She walked right in the door, right as I said, I can't believe she isn't honest. And the quote, and I wrote it down, she said, well, I just didn't want to. He is so annoying. That was the quote from the girl.
I had a lovely conversation with Colin out in the hallway. Very nice conversation.
That with Colin good. Coitus?
Yes, yes. I stand by the fact that, yes, I do believe he's annoying and clingy, but I stand by the fact that I like him. I say that because there are not a lot of salespeople here that, you know, that we like.
That's true.
He's not one of the, he doesn't fit into the category of people I run away from.
Well, you know what, all I want to say is, I don't know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have formed my opinion on him based on
by his clinginess with me up in the office with the phone calls.
And that's
a legitimate quality.
And that, also yeah. the fact that Lisa's told me
right.
that she doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
So now, officially, for the record, you do like him.
I like him, but I also, you know, he knows where I stand on that, which is why honesty works. I think you can like him and just say, hey, you know, let's not get too crazy here. Right? And I think he knows. I find that easy to do with him, you know, just say, hey, you know, back off.
If he took a step like towards like a Goldstein-like nature, he could ruin it for himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's on a thin line at the very...
Sure.
All right, well, that's
all right. Yeah, they're all on the thin line.
He's on shaky ground, on thin ice.
You're on Hello. The shaky ground here.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
My caller 100?
Yes, you sure are. Hi, what's your name?
Lisa.
Hi there, Lisa. That's another Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa, where are you from?
Gaithersburg.
Hey, how about when Lisa was here in the studio, our Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
When she just pointed at herself?
Her body.
At her body and said...
That, I believe, is worthy of further examination at some point.
What did she say? You know,
he's at her reception. He's straight. She said he's straight, and then she pointed at her body, meaning what straight man could... And, you know, that's fairly realistic.
What straight man wouldn't want coitus with her?
But there's a... Yes, that's...
Well, it's realistic, but, you know...
I know. You're not supposed to say that.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know. It's a little stuck up. I know. A little bit.
Well, she is hot.
And she knows it.
Right.
Yes. She's all fixed up today.
It came very quickly during that conversation, and it was surprising to see her do that. You know, I was like, hey. And it wasn't done in a joking way.
No, seriously.
It was just like, what man could resist?
And like I said, she's all fixed up today. I mean, you remember a couple days ago when she was hung over and half drunk.
Right, and wearing her overcoat.
Yeah, she wasn't coming in that day going, hey,
right.
You know, what man could turn this down?
She could have. I find the whole thing fascinating.
Listen, Lisa, where are you calling from?
Gaithersburg.
Thank you for listening. Lisa, you've won the 7-Eleven Dark Mountain Roast Coffee Prize Pack.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right. 7-Eleven has reached the peak of coffee flavor with Mountain Roast. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Now, are you ready to go for $500?
Yes, sir.
Okay, secret song number 6. It is a number one song from the 1970s. We need title and artist, please. Don't answer till Mike sings like?
Sylvia's mother.
You mean the song?
Yes, who does that?
Dr. Hook.
Dr. Hook.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. So Mike sings like Sylvia's mother. Sylvia's mother.
Oh, for you.
There's Sylvia's mother.
For another 3 minutes, please.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't. They sometimes just come into my brain.
The money that we're giving away is courtesy of the guys upstairs at Main Street Title for $500. We need an artist and a title, please.
Brick House by the Commodores.
Oh, damn. No. Damn. Good guess. Ow. Thank you. It's wrong, though.
Thank you.
And don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
A clue for ye. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy
for another 3 minutes.
Please, Mrs. Avery, I just want to talk to her.
Great old song.
Like that.
I don't know where it came from either.
Well, from Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
It just came into my brain there.
Mm-hmm. Next Friday, 1 week from today, we will be in Reno. Doing a live show from the studios of our Reno affiliate, KPLY. We'll be playing strip trivia. Oh, yes, here is an announcement about that.
The Darling Mike Las Vegas Style Show. Less than 1 week away, this Friday, February 23rd, at Harris at Lake Tahoe, 8 p.m. sharp. It is first come, first serve. I don't want to see no panties.
All right. So when we do the show from KPLY next Friday, we will be playing strip trivia.
Right.
And next week we'll start trolling for contestants.
Very exciting.
Now, as far as Bonnie Bernstein's involvement in the show, we do want to thank you guys. We've had plenty of great clients and non-clients who have stepped up and offered to pay the airfare for Bonnie Bernstein to come out to KPLY.
That is terrific.
To be on the show, and Bonnie wants to come out.
Mm-hmm.
However, now let me see. I got the dude's name right. Is it Sean McManus?
Sean McManus. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is like a muckety-muck with CBS TV Sports.
He's right. The president of TV Sports.
Yeah. And, well, apparently, he doesn't want Bonnie to be involved with any of our body entertainment.
Doesn't want to be involved with our ribald shenanigans?
Yeah. His rule was, if there was any nudity or anything of a sexual nature,
oh dear,
that she wouldn't be allowed to be a part of it. And you know,
well, there's nothing we can do about that.
You know, my thought was, well, she's a grown-up woman, you know, and I'm not having the conversation with him. He's having the conversation with Charlie Broyhill. And so what they decided was that CBS Sports agreed. And why do we have such an evil show in the eyes of some people? CBS Sports agreed that she could come to Reno and she could be on the radio show until we started strip trivia.
Uh-huh.
But they have banned Bonnie Bernstein from coming to the Las Vegas style show at Harrah's.
Well, that's kind of like the real reason we wanted her out there,
yeah,
for everybody to take a look at her.
We thought it would be a goof. You know.
And wasn't she just going to come on? She was going to come on at the beginning and then...
And introduce us.
Be gone. But, and, I mean, she was actually going to leave the building before we got to any of the real nasty.
And she's a hometown girl. It was her return to Reno, right?
Right. Well, you know, thank the people at CBS Sports because we said no. And we do want to thank Bonnie, though, because she was more than willing to come out and be on
she's
the show.
She's a good friend of the show, and it's unfortunate that wasn't able to work out.
We sure do like her. So that's the latest there. Oh, now, I know what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about, just for a brief second, about this radio station. That I don't understand something, and I took a couple of minutes last night. I don't know if you heard on the way home. I called into the Sports Junkie show because they were bitching about the computers and the telephones, how they don't work.
Right.
And one of those guys, Eric, said, well, it always works for Don and Mike, and then at 7 o'clock or 7:30, as soon as they're done, everything breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I called in to let Eric know that, no, listen, it's not like everything works until 7 o'clock till our show's over and all of a sudden it breaks.
Right.
I mean, like, yesterday we went through the entire show.
We had engineers here for the entire show yesterday working on the computer because it was screwed up.
And they can't figure it out. And the problem is the engineers, both of them, they're good enough guys, but they're goddamn sensitive. Wendell's sensitive. The chief engineer, Mike, is sensitive. And here's all that we're looking for. This doesn't seem to me to be a tough request. We got a computer in the studio,
right,
and we've got a computer. What, Charlie?
Did you just fart?
No,
just come in and fart.
I was getting a cramp in my leg, and I thought I was going to have to sit down. I want to say about the engineers last night. They were here till 4 a.m. trying to fix the computer.
Okay, but again,
working.
More power to them. This, to me, the layman, seems like the simplest thing to do. You have a computer back in the screener's room, and you have a computer here in the studio, a monitor. All you need to do is type on line one, Fred from Jacksonville, Florida, wants to talk about the XFL. That's all the information that has to go up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they can't make it happen. They can't do it. I mean, they want to do it. They want to have it so that a light goes on when that light is on the air and that an important call is highlighted with a special light.
You know, all I know about this computer system is that when it first came in, when we were first starting to computerize, it was not anything that was a set program. It was a homemade program that right. Daryl put in here. And, you know, it was wonderful at the time because it was the only thing we had. But I wonder, are we still building on the original homemade?
When Daryl left, they had to get rid of that because Daryl was the only one who knew how to fix it.
Okay, then, so, hold on. Let me just stop both of you guys because you're talking about a system that involves intricate stuff like putting a light on with which line is on the air. Why can't you just have one computer?
Ladies and gentlemen, Wendell Hall has made his way with a cup of coffee. He was here until 4. Okay. Wendell, I think we should pat Wendell down.
5:30.
What time?
5:30.
Okay.
Wow.
Wendell, why can't we just have one computer in here and one computer in there and use goddamn WordPerfect?
Because it's goddamn rocket science, Don. I don't know why. We started out with a homemade program written by Daryl. He doesn't work here anymore.
Okay, hold on. Please, please.
We can't call him.
Come on. Don't be defensive.
Oh, no.
Relax. Sit down. Relax.
Don't be defensive.
I understand the way it is.
Okay. But don't you understand, from my perspective, I'm thinking, gee, if you bought two computers, it's real simple to just link them up with WordPerfect,
mm-hmm.
and all Lisa has to do is type in, like she just did, Joe from New York City is on line 6.
Right, but the idea is to make that go away when you're done with that call.
Why?
So that Lisa and you don't have to keep track of who's still there and who's not.
You guys are trying to make it too much.
No.
Why can't, after I take the call, why can't you just do like you would do on normal WordPerfect and just hit delete?
Because sometimes things move too faster. That way she's screening another call if she's got other things to do. We've got hardware that'll tell a computer program that call's been dropped, that you're done with that.
So is this a specific program that's designed now for
radio
stations?
Well, the one that we're using right now was written by Dan Ryson. Shocker, he doesn't work here anymore either.
But see, that's the problem. Now, hold on. Can I just say something right here?
Support this product that you wrote for
free. That is the problem, and that's the problem that I see right now, is that I know there are many talk radio stations across this great country of ours, and there's professional software, homemade stuff.
We went through this a year ago, and we tried the professional software that was on the market at the time. And that's when we were having the blue screen of death errors in here with Windows NT. Part of that's because we built these computers from parts that we found laying around.
That's the problem, okay, guys. Okay, then let me just ask.
That's the problem.
If I was to buy on my own two computers,
you'd have to have Windows NT compatible computers. They've got to be on the Microsoft hardware compatibility list.
Okay, listen, hold on. I'm talking about this. If I was going to buy, like I do at home,
mm-hmm.
my computers at home are networked.
Mm-hmm.
If I put something in WordPerfect, I can send it to my wife's computer.
Right.
Okay. So if I can do it in my house, technically shouldn't I be able to do it here?
You're not screening calls at your house. I know.
Yes, he is.
I know what you're saying. It's different software.
But hold on. You guys are making it tougher than it has to be.
No,
all she has to do is type in Joe from New York on line 6.
We were doing that before with Instant Messenger, and we ran into problems. Because you would go to a line where nobody was. You would go to a line where you would see it was, say, line 6, that you had answered already, and you thought it was the guy you had already talked to. And it confused things.
Who did it confuse it for? I didn't.
You.
For me?
It confused you.
I wasn't confused.
You were, because we had a discussion about it.
Can I get back to what I think the problem is? You were going in that direction when you were talking about the new computers. Is one of the problems, and I'll ask you this one, because I mean I've heard this ever since I've worked here, is one of the problems that we don't have the budget to get
new computer equipment in here, and that things have been kind of rebuilt and patched together from old used parts to make our, you know, 1950s robotic computer.
This may be changing real soonly.
Okay, but am I right about that, Wendell?
The operating system on the computer on your side here last night, Mike was working on a purchase request whereby we buy a couple, maybe more, Windows NT
computer
compatibility list.
Okay.
Microsoft says this hardware will work with our software and not cause fatal errors like we're seeing yesterday.
Wendell, can we dumb it down like to layman's terms, because we are doing a radio show here? New computers, is that what you're saying? We buy new computers?
New computers.
Okay.
New software.
Right.
Possibly an entirely new phone system, replacing the admittedly antiquated 182 system.
Because, I mean, one of the problems...
But that ain't going to happen, Wendell.
We have a meeting on Tuesday with new equipment.
How many meetings do they have around here for new equipment? I'm just telling you. What if I just go down to Circuit City?
You got a coming in on Tuesday to demo the new equipment.
What if I just bought two computers?
No working.
Put one here, put one in the other room. You run a cord between the two of them, and all she does is type in Joe on line 6 from New York, Joe on line 5 from Buffalo.
And you have what Charlie was talking about with the instant messenger.
Once Joe on line 6 hangs up,
right,
then Brian is on line 6.
Okay, well,
you're not going to remember Joe's
gone. Then why can't you just type underneath it, Brian is now on line 6?
Same thing we did with Instant Messenger. It is exactly the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing, because I would have to click on my Instant Messenger. I remember when we did it on AOL.
We're in New York.
That I would actually have to physically stop the show and click on, do you want to receive this message?
Once you had to do that. Once it was up, it stayed there, and it was a big window that went in order as to who was there.
Listen, this is it's such a... All we need is a computer system that allows us to tell us who's on the telephone.
What are the chances of getting this thing moved through quickly, a purchase order with new equipment?
This morning that Westwood One made record profits in their fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, is this something where the PO will go through and we need to... I mean, we've needed it for a long time.
Mike, I can answer this. The answer is no.
Well, the problem really is, with all this stuff, is that a lot of stuff has been homemade due to the talent of engineers that we've had here.
We've been a little radio station that could for a long time.
Absolutely, guys. I mean, we have. I mean, it takes an eternity to get new equipment here, and it really does.
Okay. Well, Wendell, don't be mad.
Oh, no.
Please don't. We're not mad at you. We know we worked your ass off.
That's a dirt. No.
And you know what? If I go and buy those computers, I can make the system work. I mean, trust me, if she writes, Brian is on line 6 and Joe's no longer on line 6, I can follow that on a screen. I can.
Okay.
I can.
Well, right now it's working, so it really doesn't matter.
The system is working now.
Yes.
For the moment.
Right.
Yeah, for
and
the moment
it is.
When
it goes down, we'll go back to Instant Messenger.
Ugh.
That's your theory.
You just said that, so I thought you wanted to go to Instant Messenger.
No, I don't want to go to Instant Messenger. I don't want to have to get on my AOL account to screen calls to do a goddamn radio show. Why can't we just
It's working right now.
Okay, but
okay.
But you know it's going to break.
No, I don't. I don't know it's going to break.
How much you want to bet it breaks within a week?
I'm not going to bet you on that.
Okay, because you know it's going to break within a week.
No, I don't.
But
I'm not going to bet you on that.
It breaks every week.
Okay, it has never been a problem for you over there. It's always been that computer.
No. It is a problem here. It is a problem here on this computer.
What happens on that one?
I get nothing.
You know, I think this whole problem, guys, I think this whole problem would be eradicated if you'd simply give me computer access.
Hey, listen, you know what? F you, and sorry, Wendell. The F you was for Charlie.
And F you, too.
And the sorry is for Wendell. Trust me, my pea-sized brain could handle it if we simply had a computer where somebody typed it on WordPerfect, Bob is on line 6, and then two lines down they wrote, Bob is no longer on line 6, Fred is on line 6. My pea-sized brain could handle that. And am I keeping you from a page?
Oh, no, I just looked at it. You're not interrupting me at all.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry if I'm boring you.
Just rethink
I understand you. Your brain is so gigantic, you can handle many tasks at once.
Like a lima.
Yes, I can barely read the screen here to figure out who's on the telephone.
I'm just going by conversations we had about that very subject in the past.
I don't like using Instant Messenger. No, I don't.
Oh, I know you don't. Neither do I.
I don't like using my own personal AOL account to screen calls on a goddamn radio show. What, Mike?
I don't know. Okay.
He likes seeing us fight.
I do. It's funny. It amuses me. I mean, it's just you two have an interesting dynamic.
That's dope.
I'm not a friggin' dope. I can read a screen. If he wrote, Joe from New York is no longer on line six, I would go, okay. All she has to do is write, Buzz from Fairfax is now on line six. I could follow that. I could.
I know you could.
I get in my car every day. I drive to work.
You couldn't. I just said we had problems with it before.
Okay, well, then what I'm going to do is go out this weekend and buy two new computers.
Don't do that.
Why? Because, you know, listen, no offense to Wendell. What he's saying about this stuff about a purchase order, it ain't never going to happen. Oh, come on, Wendell. You know this company. That's not a slight at you. That's a
slight
at the
company. How much computers? Do you need a specific kind of computer?
Yeah, we need one. Here I go again. We need one that's on the Microsoft hardware compatibility.
How much?
Probably about $5,000 a piece.
$5,000 a piece. I was thinking a little cheaper.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting a couple of nice gateways.
Gateways are crap.
And consider,
Daryl just put a gateway in at my house. I wish
considering
the guy
how
worked.
Mission critical this is, we're probably going to go with the RAID array. And
what's that?
It's a redundant array of.
I hate it when you do this, Wendell. RAID array R17.5.
He can't dumb it down. He's he's too
into fired
it.
Now. So I mean, he's gonna speak only the way he knows that. And yeah. He's up here, and I'm down here.
I actually slept in a bed last night. Mike slept in his office.
Really? Well, good job.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, I know they have you piece and glue everything here together.
I'm glad to hear the chief engineer slept in his office.
Good.
Good, let him work for a while. Really, let him do something around here. Christ. You know, this has got to be the only radio station in the world where they don't have a system where the disc jockey can see who's on the telephone.
A lot of radio stations around the country, really, even smaller stations, we've been in them when we go out to affiliates. Mm-hmm. You know, write checks for their engineers and let them buy stuff state-of-the-art and keep things state-of-the-art. And if they stay ahead of it, it works. It really works. Now, Jeff from Tech Radio is coming in here.
Oh, my God. Now, all this, you know what? I never should have brought this up because all this is going to do goodbye ratings when we really seriously start talking computers. So come on in, Jeff.
Don, I'm not going to get serious.
Okay.
All I'm going to tell you is that I know you hate Instant Messenger. You don't have to use your personal account. It can be done. You can use another Instant Messenger account and get all that information.
Okay, but why do I have to go to the Internet when I just want to get information from one room to another room?
You don't. You don't really have to do it. It's because of the cheap-ass app they use.
That's the bottom line.
All right, let's say if I went out and bought two gateway computers, could you put one in here and put one in the screener's room so Lisa could just give me phone information?
It could happen.
Okay, done.
You interface it serially to the 182 interface?
If you want to use the equipment they have here.
No, I'm talking about buying my own independent system.
You going to buy a phone system, Don?
I'm not going to. I don't have to buy a phone system. I don't care if the light goes on the screen when I pick up the telephone.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you do it on your own, you're not going to interface with the other stuff they bought extra. He would have probably bought in 1962 anyway.
Yeah, I don't care about that. All I'm saying is,
Wendell just got a phone call.
Okay, well, then
you can use Gateway.
Okay, then I'm going to go buy two Gateway computers this weekend.
You can use anything you want as long as it's on a list, but the thing is it won't cost $5,000. It won't cost.
Okay, great. I'll go buy two computers. Thank you.
You know how we get around it? We don't use this stuff. We use our own stuff. We roll our own, as they say.
Right, to screen your calls.
Yes.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do on our show now. I don't mind paying for the computer.
We roll our own.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
We asked Jeff if he was interested in the IS position here. He laughed at us.
They don't pay enough here.
What is the IS position?
Information systems.
Oh. Specifically like computers?
Yeah, computers and stuff.
But they don't pay enough?
No way.
Okay. What do they pay?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff.
I mean, it's probably on food stamps. Food stamps and a stab in the back.
Listen, I have to email you back anyway because I got the email you sent me yesterday. So I'll email you back, and if I buy two computers, you can put one in here and one in there for Lisa?
I'll make it happen.
Okay. Thanks. That'll stop my bitching.
Wendell?
Yeah, what? What are you looking at me in that sort of voice for?
Hey, I guess I'll go on home. I see that I'm not needed here.
Oh, come on, Wendell.
This is nothing about you personally. Come on, Wendell.
You know, this environment is our responsibility as engineers. And if you're letting contracts, then the hell am I doing taking up space in this joint?
Oh, Wendell's hurt.
Sorry, Wendell. Hurt. Hey, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Okay. Oh, come on, Wendell.
Wendell's lumbering out of here in a very bad...
No offense to you, Wendell. Please, it's no offense to you, Wendell.
And he picked up speed.
All right.
Just like that Jeep of his will pick up speed when he peels out of the parking lot.
You might want to add to your shopping list two computers and one handgun. Just be aware.
Yeah, I know.
Just understand what I'm saying. It's so basically simple that all we really need is the basic tools of a computer just to get information from one computer to the next.
That's right.
That's all we need.
You deal with that. I don't see that. I don't see what you're dealing with.
I'll buy the computers this weekend. We'll let Jeff hook them up.
Very good.
Know what, then? We'll have our own infallible system on the show.
Perfect.
We'll just pack
Perfect.
We'll pack up the computers every night when we're done with the show, and we'll lock them in the office. I hope no one steals them like they stole our bottles of wine up there.
Now with the technology, nice lightweight stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably do it with laptops.
And as a last resort...
Could you do it with laptops?
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, but then it involves getting online again.
Yeah, it might not necessarily, because if you have laptops also, if you really were talking about making it portable and making it our system.
But there's no reason we couldn't just unplug, for instance, the monitor right here.
Right.
Just unplug the baby and take it.
You have one like this one, a little guy, and you just put it in a storage area. And
I'll buy a nice one like that.
Do it that way.
A nice one in the cow box.
Most of those gateways have the hardware built into the monitor.
Yeah, absolutely. And otherwise, the only other alternative I could come up with was... what you had at the bank the other day, mm-hmm. where we build a massive system of air tubes and cylinders.
Yes, and we have a little plastic case that feeds the handwritten caller over to you through system of pulleys and chutes.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just trying to illustrate what a basic need it is we have at this radio station.
I do think it's important to point out, though, that one of the main reasons we have all of our technical problems around here is because for a long time, compared to other stations in this company, this radio station has survived by having engineers that kind of glue things together. And it really is unfair to them. It really is. Yeah, I feel bad for those.
Hold on. I got a guy from Dell who wants to give us two computers. Beautiful. Hello?
Hi, this is DORM Radio, broadcasting live from the basement of the science
building. Oh, F you. I thought we really had a guy who really was from Dell Computer on the phone.
You know, it really is almost a pat on the back to the engineering staff here. You know, when other CBS, Viacom-owned whatever stations in the area have troubles, they get our engineers.
Hey, guys, stop worrying about kissing their ass so much.
Hey. I'm not kissing anybody's ass. I am not kissing their ass. That is the truth.
They're good guys. Okay, we've established the fact they're good guys.
No, but I mean, really,
this place is a dump.
This place, I mean, back in the production studio, it's the same thing. There's crap. There's antiquated garbage here because they wouldn't spend a dime on this radio station.
Agreed.
That's the big problem. It's not that things are, made too complicated. It's that the money is not spent here. I'm not kissing anybody's ass. I'm saying, Dan Ryson and Daryl, forever have been just gluing things together. And, that. I know how good those guys are compared to the guy. You know the engineers we worked with in the past.
My point is, they're all great engineers.
Right.
And I'm sorry that Wendell has his feelings hurt over this right now. I purposely said it's not a personal attack on Wendell.
No, it's not.
It's not.
With you going out and buying computers, I still would love it if we could get a little more state-of-the-art in this whole facility. And I'm not talking about just the computer system. I'm talking about many aspects of the sound of this radio station.
I guarantee if I go out and spend $1,000 on each computer, I'll come back with better computers than we have in here right now.
Oh, they use used stuff. That's what they use.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, buddy. Speak slowly because my pea-sized brain can only absorb so much.
I know.
Oh, come on down.
A guy called is going to have two computers here by Tuesday.
Great. A real computer guy?
Mm-hmm.
What company?
Dell.
Okay, so that was on the level?
Yes, it was.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gotcha. Bye-bye. Hey, Mike?
Yes?
What did he just say?
He said a guy, Don, is going to be coming in with another computer, with a new computer.
Okay. Two of them.
Okay. Or so.
Okay. Because I couldn't process that. Because I'm so dumb. Okay. All right. Well, then problem solved. End of the bitch session.
Right. Right. But, to be honest, problem solved for now. And then you'll have another piece of equipment that'll fail in this place. Because what? All the good computers in the world aren't going to replace the phone system, which crashes here.
Yeah. That I'm not buying a new phone system, okay?
Right.
I'll buy a couple of computers so that we can properly screen calls.
Absolutely.
I ain't buying a phone system.
And that's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I know.
Those guys are still going to be dealing with that crap.
I know. Eventually, it'll be, send us a letter, and we'll read your letter on the air. Okay. Time out. When we come back,
Charlie Stossel's here.
Yeah.
We have a jail mail today.
All right.
We're going to yell at him about Hannibal, and I'm really in the mood for him.
It's going to be wonderful, isn't it?
So let's wheel him in right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
The password is Jizz. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, as the mother chucker steps in,
just a brief update from an earlier argument on the show.
What's going on the show today?
Yeah. Colin Coitus just came in and very proudly told Mike and myself that he's going out with Laura tonight.
And then as he was walking down the hallway, he gave us one of these.
You know, the girl from The Blind Date.
Right.
Right.
So he's going out with her tonight.
Excellent.
Going to knock the bottom out, I guess.
So kind of a happy ending for young Colin.
Oh, yeah. And now here is our favorite on Friday, Movie Man.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's Movie Man, Charlie Stossel.
Howdy, Charlie.
Hello.
Hello, Clarice. Listen, before we talk about Hannibal, I have jail mail for you.
Couldn't be more excited.
Oh, and Mike the TV boy is online with a call for Charlie Stossel.
For me?
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Yes.
Well, that's not... Who is this?
Yes, ma'am.
I can't recognize the voice.
Me either. Hey, Mike the TV boy, are we all supposed to guess?
Yes.
Okay. Boy,
what do you say?
What do you say?
Oh.
Oh.
I think it's Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm.
Is this Mr. Rogers?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Charlie, say hi to Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, hello, how are you? Mr. Rogers, did you see Hannibal?
Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
No, ma'am.
Why not? Was it too violent?
Yes, ma'am.
Why do you keep calling Charlie ma'am? Do you realize that Charlie is a man, not a woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least he's not, he understands that I am a man.
You are only in your 20s now, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm a few years older than that, but thank you. A lot of people might think I'm in my 20s. How old are you, Mr. Rogers?
See, he can't answer questions like that, Charlie. You got to just feed him the stuff you think he's got to say.
That's right, but I tell you, this is right for your timing with this. I'll tell you that right now.
Mike, you and I should probably take over.
Mr. Rogers, yes. Mr. Rogers, you seem to say ma'am all the time. You think of Charlie Stossel as a woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, was there anything specific you wanted to say to Charlie Stossel today?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Speak your mind. He's here.
I know there are a lot of children who might want to learn the trumpet.
Oh, dear.
would that be Charlie's trumpet?
Yes.
Oh, no. Very bad. Very bad, Mike.
It takes a lot of practice to play a musical instrument really well.
It sure does. Like Charlie's amazing trumpet.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And I bet you have all kinds of boys and girls who would like to play Charlie's trumpet, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. Anything
His
else?
Finger-
what?
His fingers go just like the wind.
I've heard that.
They sure do.
They sure do.
It sounds
ready
like,
for that?
It sounds like you know a lot about Charlie Stossel.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you share a lot of his similar likes?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember how curious I was about so many things.
Uh-huh. Just like Charlie.
Yes.
Do you enjoy bathing children?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't bathe them, Don. Let's make sure we have that right.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember how curious I was about tapioca pudding.
Oh, wow. Tapioca. Wow. Charlie, do you like tapioca pudding?
I can't say I do, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Rogers does.
But Mr. Rogers, you do weird stuff with the tapioca pudding, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you put the tapioca pudding between two pillows, Mr. Rogers?
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Delayed, yes.
Do you ever put the tapioca pudding on the trumpet?
Yes, ma'am.
This is one of those days where Mike hasn't warmed up his fingers, I think.
No, he's doing all right. Anything else for Charlie?
Yes.
Okay, go.
I wish that I could look inside the telephone. I hear the voice, but I wish that I could see. I'm interested in things like the telephone.
Are you interested in Charlie Stossel?
Yeah.
No, dear.
Yeah. Sexually?
Tapioca pudding.
Yeah. All right. See you later, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Do you have a goodbye? Do you have a goodbye tape?
Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Specifically okay. Calling for you, Charlie.
Oh. Wow.
And, you know, Lisa just came in with a note that says, Laura, the girl from the blind date,
uh-huh.
Yes. She asked Charlie Stossel out, too. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. Nobody's asked me out, Don.
Oh, Broyhill.
I think it'd be Broyhill,
she
not
asked
me.
Charlie Broyhill think- out? Really? Hey, Broyhill, come here for a minute.
She's a busy, busy girl.
Yes, she is.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, that's busy. Uh-huh. That's very busy. And did we confirm that, was Colin legit about that, that she actually did ask him out?
Hi.
Hi. she asked you out?
Yes, she did.
Okay, come on. Okay. Knock off the retard stuff. She did ask you out, though?
Yes, she did.
What did she say?
She said, you know, you're not getting any younger. Why don't we go out?
And what did you say?
Said, no, I'm not.
That is charm.
That's his winning charm, Buzz. Okay, so for the record, she went out with Mr. Perfect. She asked you out, and she's going out with Colin Coitus tonight.
I guess so.
Okay. I'm just keeping score.
Did
very,
come
very busy.
Colin after you or before?
I don't know.
All right.
No idea.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's his position, and he's standing by it.
All right. Now, Charlie, before the movies... Letter. New inmate from the adults, or as he writes, A-D-U-L-T-Y. There's millions of spelling errors.
The Adulty.
Adulty Detention Center, Jessup, Maryland.
Oh, good.
Dear Charlie.
Charlie, is your Charlie's microphone's got a beeper
on. Oh, gotcha. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Dear Charlie. I am unjustly imprisoned in Jessup, Maryland.
Oh, dear.
And listen to your movie reports every Friday at 1300 a.m. on the Don and Mike Show. Many of my fellow inmates mock me because I demand control of the radio in the group room specifically to listen to you on the show. Last week I had to trade a week's worth of desserts just to get the right to listen on Friday.
Wow.
Please, Don and Mike, read this letter on Friday, February 16th, as I haste, just traded sexual favors with another man for the right to hear your movie reviews.
Wow, he's giving up sexual favors. He's
giving up his ass.
I am not a fag.
Right. Well, of course not.
I hated doing what they demanded in return for the right to control the radio.
Of course.
Don't worry, Don. It wasn't what you... Dooned, D-O-O-O-O-N-T, approve of. I simply, if I could delete this out, went down on them.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Dear.
All right, so it wasn't the no-no spot.
I did not let them in my mouth.
Oh, my. Oh, dear.
It
sounds legit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I write this to show my level of devotion to the man in the law, the man I love and respect, not in a fag way, Charles Stossel.
Ooh.
Here is my request, Charles. Can you review on the air the following movies? Escape from Alcatraz, Shawshank Redemption, The Rock. Which is the best, in your opinion?
The Shawshank Redemption.
I agree with that.
More questions, Charles. Oh, what is your favorite color?
Green.
Favorite month?
July.
Favorite food?
Pizza.
Please, 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 Don and Mike, read this letter on Friday, February 16th. Charlie, you are the man. Keep giving away all the plots to movies. I'll never see them anyway, at least for the next 17 months. Charlie, would you please send my... Please send my, I think it means me, will you please send my some money for essentials here?
He wants money from you now. He wants you to be his sugar daddy.
I have proved my loyalty to you by, I can't read,
pleasuring
something to a man.
Pleasuring other men.
To control the radio. I expect $20 a month from you.
Uh-oh.
Thanks a lot.
No.
Christopher Rankin.
Wow.
And then it has his...
Thank you, Christopher.
his number and his address at the adult detention center.
Well, I'll be writing that check tonight.
Pretty heavy stuff. And that, you know, it's
or
difficult when
cash,
he professes
in the joint.
He professes his love for you, and then he asks for money. You know, that kind of that damages his credibility.
And he's servicing other men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's doing it in your name.
But this is not good.
To your honor,
it's not good.
But he writes, he's not a homosexual.
But now he knows that your favorite color is green, your favorite month's July, and your favorite food is pizza.
If Charlie doesn't send the money, he's going to force this poor prisoner into a life of prostitution.
Yeah.
And he knows Shawshank Redemption is your favorite movie.
Well, out of the three, yes.
All right, well, there you go. There's
well,
one.
Thank you.
I know you like to keep a file of all
Absolutely.
Of your fan letters from jail.
Absolutely.
I will not be sending the inmate any money, but I should tell him that the Shawshank Redemption is in my top five of all time.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
I'm a fan of The Escape from Alcatraz myself.
It's a good movie, too.
That's not very bad. Good, too.
The Rock is okay, but just dumb.
Yeah, The Rock does, I don't think, compared
no,
to Escape
it's
from Alcatraz.
No, it's not on the same level.
No way.
No.
It's dumb. And again, your favorite color is? I remember it was green, July, and pizza. Pizza.
Pizza.
Pizza.
It was done on purpose that way.
Pizza with a Coca-Cola with a very long straw.
Okay. Charlie, hold on a second. We got a break. When we come back, we do want to yell at you about Hannibal.
Shocker.
And then we do want to find out. I know that the new Chris Rock movie is out this weekend.
Down to Earth.
And the piece of crap, I'm assuming, Keanu Reeves movie.
Week November.
Oh, I bet you love it, though. We'll get Charlie's reviews when we come right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
And another thing. You better sit on that zoo fraternity of yours. I don't want no Duncan riots in my town.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show. Less than 1 week away, this Friday, February 23rd, at Harris at Lake Tahoe, 8 p.m. sharp. It is first come, first serve. I don't want to see no panties.
Cool. Boy, is this great!
They are importing more comedy bits from Japan in order to prolong your listening pleasure. It is the radio program of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, 1 week from today, we'll be live in Reno from KPLY.
It's going to be one of our favorite kind of shows, too.
Yeah, strip trivia show next Friday.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, for the first time ever, we headline in Lake Tahoe.
Very exciting for the show.
At Harrah's. And I have been assured that on the sign outside,
yes,
at least for the day on Friday,
right?
We get billing on top of Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Get the camera. Get
cool.
the camera. You know, we'll have to, you know what? We'll have to be tourists and have a little picture taken out.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like Dean and Jerry.
Right. In front of the fans. Okay, it's time for movie reviews now with Charlie Stossel. Charlie, before you review.
Yeah.
Let's talk Hannibal.
Let's talk Hannibal.
Now.
Charlie.
Mike hated it.
That's what I hear.
Frida hated it.
Bart hated it.
Bart hated it. 98% of the people who called the show hated it.
Yeah.
It was a horribly directed movie. It was a horrible plot. It was a horrible screenplay. Anthony Hopkins was good in the movie, but he doesn't save the movie at all. And you can't make a horror movie. Let me just say my piece.
Sure.
You can't make a horror movie. And I think, frankly, this whole thing about making it kind of campy and making it kind of a comedy with the horror being kind of in a comedic way.
I disagree
with
that.
That's a cop-out.
I agree.
And I think it's spin they put on it when they didn't know what the hell to do.
But I don't think that it was meant to be funny. We know what Hannibal Lecter is capable of. And if you read the book, which is one of the routes I tried to go last week, if you read the book, it's fairly... It sticks pretty much to the book, with the exception of a few characters that really, I think, would have helped the movie quite a bit if the characters had been in the book. But you can never take what's in the book and translate it on film. Now, for what it is, I said it was a step below Silence of the Lambs. If you think Silence is a 4-star movie, this was a 3.
No, I disagree. I agree it was a step below Silence of the Lambs, but it was a step into the crapper from Silence of the Lambs.
The stuff that you didn't like, Italy. The stuff in Italy?
No, that wasn't the only reason I didn't like the movie.
I liked the stuff in Italy.
Oh, my God. How can you say you like that? It was boring.
God, I wish I had seen it. I would love to pile on.
It was hours.
I read the book, and it followed along with exactly the way the book went.
Yeah, but
I thought that was the closest part to the book that
I understand.
And that's where I was
coming
from.
You know more than anybody else that making a good movie is not necessarily staying close to the book. It's a different medium, and even that guy John Irving, who writes those wonderful novels that they turn into books, says it's a totally different animal.
It is, and if you saw, if you took from the book and the movie, they should have made this movie 3.5 hours long, just with all the stuff that you missed, that by reading the book you knew.
Yeah, but the book.
No, listen,
you got to throw the book out the window.
I can't imagine you'd make the movie longer. Frida said to me, the movie was too long. She said to me, you would have fallen asleep in the movie, and Mike told me he did fall asleep.
I did fall asleep because it just was, it was too much. It was too much,
I think,
too much time spent in Italy,
I
and they didn't need to do that much.
Anthony Hopkins on screen as Hannibal Lecter, he is so elegant in how he had the whole character and how he moved, and just him in the picture is fine. And
in Silence of the Lambs, they take Anthony Hopkins and they make him so scary.
Yes.
And what they did was they made him almost, it was almost like they were trying to make him a sympathetic figure. And you just can't do that in a movie like
in
that.
In this movie or in Silence?
I'm talking about in Hannibal, okay. They try to make him, it missed on so many levels, Charlie, that
in
I was
Silence
extraordinarily
of the Lambs,
disappointed.
You have to establish the character of Lecter. You have to make him over the top. You have to make him very scary. In this movie, you can dive more in. The guy is so smart. He knows what all these other people that he's dealing with in Italy or in America are going to do 20 minutes before they do it. He already has pieced together. So he's able to have
and
in
that's
his
another
head
thing.
What
you
he's going to react to.
You know what makes one of these movies great is when they have that level of reality. And that's what I like in all my movies. I like it to be somewhat plausible that this could actually happen. They went from making Hannibal Lecter a guy behind bars who escaped and everything that happened in that movie. I said, that could happen. I mean, if the guy was this evil genius and they make him into a comic book character in Hannibal and they make him superhuman, and it turned into...
They make him smarter than anybody. Anybody else where
yeah.
he can outsmart anybody.
No, they made him smart in such a way that he's almost like a supernatural figure, and I thought that sucked.
And what about Frida's complaint to me, where she said, you know from the beginning that Clarice is in no danger. You know from the beginning of the movie
That's absolutely true.
She said, you know from the start of the movie that there's not a chance that anything bad is going to happen to Clarice.
But you also know that from Silence of the Lambs, I think, at the end when he calls her and just says, don't call on me, you know, and at least gives her that courtesy phone call at the very end of the movie saying, I'm alive, and he goes off and is alive.
But that's the end of the movie, and there's a big difference.
But I think that
you... And you can draw your own conclusions from...
Mm-hmm.
And you can interpret the end of Silence of the Lambs. You could either think he's saying, really, goodbye, I you know, forget about... Or he's saying, hey, guess what, bitch, you know, in 10 years... I'm going to be back.
Exactly.
I think really they spent too much time making him elegant. They spent too much time making him a sympathetic figure, and not enough time making him out to be the monster.
I don't even know if I would call him a sympathetic figure.
Well, not necessarily sympathetic as much as they
isn't
make
it,
him.
Isn't it true that he only eats bad people?
Yeah. They make him almost like a good guy.
He makes a point of that.
What?
He makes a point of that. He doesn't like rude people.
Yeah, and it just, that was crap. You know, he's a psychopath, and they ought to make it more. I was so scared in Silence of the Lambs. I still think it's one of the scariest movies ever made. And I think a sequel to that movie should have had more of a scariness factor. They bring in the Gary Oldman character and make him more of a villain than I think he should be. And he wasn't that much of a villain in the book. He really wasn't. He was the victim in the book. I know he was a bad guy himself,
but
he was...
But there's another character in the book, his sister, which is not in the movie.
Right.
And there's such a dynamic between him and his sister. That is the character that is really missing in the movie.
Well, I found it horribly disappointing, Charles.
It was.
I really did.
Yes. How's it doing in the Left Out Club?
I feel like you do. I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. I'm just feeling awful. I wish I could pile on.
Yeah, it's you know, I wish you could too.
And I didn't go to see it.
You're doing a good job from the information your wife gave you.
And you.
Yeah.
That so many people have told me so much bad stuff about it.
I like that when I go to see a movie that disappoints me that I have looked forward to and I have bought into the hype and it's like this and you fall asleep. If you had told me going into that movie that I would nod out, I would say absolutely no way.
All right, so you stand by your review.
Yes. And I didn't think I would fall asleep in, and I'm not going to harp on this, oh, brother, where art thou, where I may have dozed off for a good 5 minutes.
Listen, you know what?
No,
please, shut up for a second. Be the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Go take your wife and see Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou.
I'm going to see a chick flick tonight.
Hey, what are you going to, the Keanu movie?
I'm going to see Chocolat.
Oh, well, that's because you think you're getting in for free.
Okay,
you know what? Mike and I are members of the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
And they sent us this thing saying, if you want to go see Chocolat, if you live in New York or Los Angeles, there are all these screenings.
Right.
Well, Mike reads the fine print where it says,
call up a theater.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have screenings in New York and Los Angeles. And if you are, if you're not in New York or Los Angeles, we have made arrangements with your local theater
right.
to get you in with your Screen Actors Guild card. So I'm going to go. I'm going to take my Screen Actors. I don't know where I put my Screen Actors Guild card. I called my wife on my way to work, and I said, find that, and we'll go.
Bring it, and then I'll just walk in.
And I also want to see the reaction and say,
exactly.
I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and because you know where I go to the movies.
Yes,
where I go to the movies, they're going to go, huh? You're a member of what?
Yeah, and you know what you're saying to me upstairs, like it's a secret Dakota ring. He said, I should be able to take this card
and go to all movies.
To any theater. Can't you? And
Charlie,
get into a movie
you'd know
for
this.
Free.
You'd know the answer to this. Don't most of the films that get nominated for SAG Awards allow members to...
In New York and L.A. It's very easy.
In New York and L.A. And also, but you could probably do it in Washington,
you
too.
You probably could. If
what would you do?
If you were very cheap, you could do it in Washington.
I am cheap.
Absolutely. You see the stock market today?
Oh, yeah. All right, but Charlie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
And I'm not trying to knock on that. The point I'm trying to make is...
It was a great movie.
Just because I dozed a little bit in it doesn't mean everybody else is going to. Just because Mike fell asleep during Silence of the Lambs doesn't mean it's necessary.
I wish, Hannibal.
I left that theater, and I was so angry.
Okay, listen, I haven't seen Hannibal. I can't comment. I did see Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
You're very fortunate that you didn't see Hannibal, in my opinion.
Good.
Because you really, when I go to a movie that's long and I don't like, I'm mad when I walk out. Because I have not only plunked down the money, but I've also wasted an incredible evening. And you know what? That's an evening for me. And you know how I value my evenings.
That movie sucks. The George Clooney movie is good. I don't care what you say about it.
Fine.
Let's talk about the two this weekend. We have three this week. Three, okay. What's the third that I'm missing out on?
Recess.
Are you going to review the cartoon?
We don't have to.
Oh, yes, review the cartoon, because I've seen trailers for it. That is an animated movie, even though it's Disney, that I saw the trailer for, and it made me laugh out loud.
It really did.
Doesn't it look like a low-rent King of the Hill?
It does.
The animation is like that. It's that Saturday morning ABC animation. That's exactly what it is.
Go ahead, review it.
Great movie for kids. This is based on the Saturday morning cartoon, where in this, an evil ex-principal who's drawn like Vincent Price, see, he's laughing already, comes back to create a permanent winter so the kids can never have a summer vacation. And the principal and all the kids have to then work against this evil ex-principal to get their summer back.
Don't look at me while you're reviewing this movie.
I'll look at Mike.
Mike's just one. You know how many crappy movies I have to go to? I mean, not crappy movies, but movies that, like...
I know, with your kids.
My wife happened to like The Emperor's New Groove. That's another one. And you want to talk about sleeping.
Yeah.
That is one that I caught the first 5 minutes of and then was awakened by my wife after 40 minutes had passed. And it's a very brief movie, so I missed the whole movie. So I don't get a chance to see little kids' movies that maybe will entertain me. Toy Story was a good example of one that...
entertain you.
Good.
Is it appropriate
for children?
Yes, and it's comedy along the line of Rugrats.
Here's all I want to say.
Now that I won't know.
Remember who's telling you this.
Right.
You are like
right.
an abusive spouse.
I know, I just keep coming back.
You're the abused spouse, and he's the abuser.
I know, because he sells me with his magical powers.
He keeps giving you these reviews, and you believe him, and then you come in on Monday, and you're ready to punch him.
He said the magic word, though. My kids won't be in that theater. My wife, she 86's the Rugrats stuff.
Well, no, it's not that scary Rugrats animation.
No, it's not scary.
Humor, Charlie,
how many dolls do you give this cartoon?
Two and a half.
I sound like Casey Kidd. Two and a half. All right, let's move on to real movies.
Sweet November.
The Keanu movie.
Keanu Reeves and Charlize Theron, who always manages to do a very good job. Whatever movie she's in, she's great. And I think what they tried to do in this movie is reunite that maybe they had a little bit during Devil's Advocate when they were both husband and wife in this. In this film, she is a woman who takes on boyfriends every month, kicks them out at the end of the month, finds a new one.
He was a whore.
You know, I'll tell you, it's
there's
him,
reason
though.
Why.
It's him, though. I wish his band, Dog Fart, whatever it's called, would become very popular so he wouldn't make any movies.
Keanu Reeves should limit himself to action films.
He was good in The Matrix, man.
Matrix, mm-hmm. Speed.
He was good in Bill and Ted.
He should limit himself to comedies.
He was great in Bill and Ted, but in The Matrix he didn't have to
and
do anything.
And to comedies. Where he's at least serviceable. And he shouldn't be the leading guy. He's good in The Devil's Advocate because Pacino is there
right.
to kind of carry the movie. But with him as a leading romantic guy. You look at him and you just go.
I wanted to puke when I saw the trailer for this movie where he's taking a bubble bath.
I didn't see
and
that.
She's like scrubbing his back or something.
Oh, really?
And he just looks at her. And you know, what's the thing he says in Matrix? When he, after he says, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. When Lawrence Fishburne jumps over the building.
Right.
And he just goes, whoa. But he has.
That's what he does.
He has a similar comment while this chick's washing his back.
Yeah, if he's too featured in a movie, he'll screw it up. He's just not the best. And this is based on an old British film, too, with Anthony Newley.
Really?
Newley on the zoo. He's dead, isn't he, Anthony Newley?
Way dead.
So.
How many porcelain dolls?
1.5.
1.5.
Wow.
Okay, so you give the cartoon 2.5.
Yeah, cartoon's better than this.
Keanu, 1.5. And what about the Chris Rock movie?
Chris Rock is so much better than what the material he's being given in this film. Down to Earth, a remake of Heaven Can Wait, the Warren Beatty film, which is a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, with, I think it's James Mason,
mm-hmm.
from way back when. In this, he's a struggling comic who is taken ahead of time by a great performance by... the guy from Bronx Tale. Now, he's a gangster guy.
I know who you mean. I've seen
Thank
him,
you.
Who is it?
Chaz Palminteri.
Right.
Who plays the King of Heaven like a like Sinatra would.
Isn't that also the guy like from Analyze This? Wasn't he the bad guy against De Niro in Analyze This?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. So he's very good. Eugene Levy is the angel who takes Chris Rock too soon. They put him in the body of a fat old guy who's very rich. And let the hijinks begin at that point. It's Chris Rock being Chris Rock, and if you like Chris Rock, you'll laugh at this movie. This is no great cinematic piece. This is what Chris Rock does well, which is be funny, and in this case, he carries the movie. This is not acting like how Eddie Murphy may have done in Coming to America when everyone saw that and went, wow, he's not bad. But in this, Chris Rock, he's just, it's funny.
I saw him interviewed, and here's what he said. He said he had dinner with Warren Beatty.
Wow. I mean, Chris Rock just cracks me up.
He's the funniest comedian in America right now. He said, I had dinner with him, and I didn't know who the hell he was. I know he's a movie star, but I thought all of his movies were crap.
And he's right.
That every movie I'd
seen...
He
saw Bugsy and Ishtar.
Yeah, and they were both crap.
Right.
So he went home after he had dinner with Warren Beatty, and he rented Heaven Can Wait, where he's a football player, and he said to his friends, that's a good idea. We can do it better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and anybody really look, if you look at the Warren Beatty filmography,
yeah.
I mean, really, there aren't a lot of luck, but Ishtar was one of the greatest disasters of all time.
Yeah. All right, so we know the plot, that he's a dead guy and he comes back as an old white guy. How many stars, porcelain dolls do
Three.
You do this?
Chris Rock fans will find it funny. It's not something that you have to go in and pay great attention to, but it's a good way to pass 2 hours.
And Rob, I don't know, are you correcting him?
Yeah, he had a mistake. James Mason was in Heaven Can Wait. Claude Rains was in Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Thank you.
Rob with the correction.
Wow. How do you... Claude Rains. We're going back to the
'30s. Great.
It's incredible.
Okay.
All right, so that's it. The best movie of the weekend is Chris Rock.
Yeah, and the kids' movie Recess right up on its tail.
Okay. All right. How much money will Hannibal make this weekend?
25 to 30.
Really? Even with all the bad word of mouth?
Yeah, it made 58, even if it drops 50%. That still puts it between 25 and 30.
All right, hold on. I think I got calls for you. Hold on a second. Hello, Adam?
Yes, I'm Mike Radio Gods. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
All right, this is Alan from Annandale.
Right, sorry about that. It says Adam on the screen. It's why we need the new computer.
Absolutely.
We'll have them Tuesday.
I saw Hannibal without the benefit of seeing Silence of the Lambs, and although I agree with you that Italy took way too long, I'd have to say that it was necessary for the character development of Hannibal without seeing the first movie.
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs, one of the main reasons I said this, that I didn't like Hannibal, is because I did see Silence of the Lambs. So, I mean, I can understand that on its own, probably not as bad a movie, but if you see Silence of the Lambs... But he does have a point. When they're in Italy, you have to see it. And again, I hate to refer back to the book, but you see how smart this guy is.
Stop referring to the book, because nobody read the book.
A lot of people read the book. Being this curator of the
more people
Italian
see movies
museum,
than read books.
This American who comes in to be a curator in Italy, when everyone wants an Italian to do it, he shows how he's smarter than everyone else.
But you know that when you talk about books, you know, you do not base a movie...
Hey,
exclusively on following the book. No, nobody does that.
Let me dumb it down
to a level I can understand. I read John Grisham's books. Mm-hmm. I go to the movies.
the movies are never exactly like the books.
Okay.
They never are.
You can't. And I mean, I was watching John Irving, a great novelist, who said that. He actually said, it's a totally different art form when you're writing a screenplay compared to writing a novel. And that's the absolute truth.
Listen, Charlie, are you willing to admit you were wrong about Hannibal?
No.
You are not.
No.
How many dolls did you
Three.
Give it? Absolutely not.
What would you give it?
I'd give it 2.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I say it's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
No.
It was an incredible disappointment.
Well, don't you want to go lower than 2?
No, I don't want to go lower than 2 because, I mean, Anthony Hopkins is still a great actor to watch on screen. There have been many more. Because if you give it a 1, I put it in the dregs with some really crappy movies.
All right.
But it did put me to sleep.
Well, that's it. You're off the hook, Charlie.
All righty.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey, don't forget, send that convict his $20.
Yeah. I will.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll have to... You know.
Right. Pizza.
Pizza.
Green. July.
Pizza.
I'm wearing my green golf shirt. I'm wearing my green camp counselor's shorts, eating pizza in July.
And I'm watching The Shawshank Redemption.
In the tub.
And I'm thinking of you giving oral to a man so that you can listen to me on the radio.
Yippee-yi-yo. Kaye.
There he is. Goody, goody.
As Hannibal Lecter would say, goody, goody.
Goody, goody.
All right. More calls? Yes. Coming right up. We'll be right back.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
If Larry tells him about the time I masturbated before the show, I'll never be able to show my face in public.
Why are we masturbating before the show?
You see, it's an interesting story, isn't it? Man, he's going to put it in the book. I can smell it.
Don't boxers abstain from any type of sexual activity before a big fight?
Yes, because they are pussies. When I find a little sexual stimulation before the show relaxes and centers me. Oh, my God.
What?
What if he has the pictures?
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, yeah, we tried. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donnie Miguel.
Yeah, hola.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
All right, I got a funny story for you, all right? I'm enrolled in a computer class in my high school. We got 50 computers lined up in the lab, right?
Right.
So me and my buddy got a clip of Mike saying jackass to some guy on the radio, okay?
Yeah.
Every night they turn the computers off at the same time and turn them on at the same time while the students are at their desk.
Yeah.
Every single computer, when it was turned on, said jackass right by Mike. We got a one-day suspension, but it was for you guys, man. Oh, radio guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Beavis.
That's wonderful.
Right.
Bye-bye.
And then, he knows his way around computers.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was either Bill or Ted or
right,
whatever. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. Hello, Mike. I'm stuck here in the Twin Cities.
In Minnesota?
Yes.
Why are you stuck in Minnesota, Dennis?
Well, I'm on my way to Iowa City, but my flight was canceled.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow night, Dennis is doing some kind of special radio show from...
Yeah, I'm doing a love show.
Love show.
KCJJ, which is 16:30 a.m.
Why was your flight canceled, Dennis?
Google maintenance problems.
Hey, Dennis, here's a question.
Yeah.
What's today's date?
16? Today's date is February 16th.
Okay. little Tourette's-y there. Where are our Christmas presents?
The Christmas presents I do have.
You have them?
I have them.
You have them in your possession?
No, not with me.
You have them at home?
Yeah, I have them at home.
They've already been purchased.
They've been purchased.
You're telling the truth.
Well, no, I'm not telling the truth.
All right, so you haven't got our Christmas presents.
No, but I am meaning to bring down some presents.
How do you lie to us?
What?
Why do you lie to us, Don?
No, you know what? I did purchase them, but I have...
Wait a minute. No, hold on.
Okay. This is what happened. I purchased the gift in January, first week in January.
Of course, and as we all know, that's the traditional time to buy your Christmas gifts, the first week in January.
Of course, absolutely.
Don, the thing is, I meant to buy them before, but you had that serious kidney operation.
Yes, okay, so you bought our Christmas gifts the first part of January.
Yes. And so what I had to do was return them
because you thought we forgot about it. Because you thought we forgot about it.
Yes, Mike.
Oh, Dennis.
That's the drone. Scott, that's you, Freeze.
If I know Dennis Murphy, the one thing about Dennis, you know, you give us wonderful gifts and we always look forward to them.
Well, yes, and believe me, I did purchase the gift. I can show you the receipt.
What did you, just for snicks, what did you get us that you then returned?
I think you will like what I got you. I got you a pullover Ravens sweatshirt.
I probably would have enjoyed that.
Okay, but I can always go back and get it. And Mike?
Yeah.
I got you two psychedelic golf shirts.
See, and I love your golf shirts, Dennis. There was one golf shirt you bought me that I wore like 50 times until it was like threadbare.
What did you get for Buzz that you returned?
The usual sweater.
I love the clock you got me last year.
What did you get for Rob that you returned?
Rob, I'm still thinking on Rob. I don't have Rob's gift. I couldn't get it.
That's the ultimate insult. He didn't even buy a present that he later returned for Rob.
Right. It was going to be a last minute thing. Like it was coming a hex bag. Well, it used to be right down the street.
Hey, Dennis, if you bought the presents the first part of the January...
Yeah.
Why?
I was going to come down when we had lunch together. Remember that fabulous lunch we had, Don?
Yes, when I paid off my bet. Right?
I remember you saying that you were going to give the presents to Don.
I did have it in my possession at that time.
Right, and I told you simply that day that I'd had...
Too much mercy.
On that day.
Yes. Right.
So when did you return the gifts then?
Well, you know, I returned them a week later.
Why?
Well, I needed to pay off my credit card.
And you thought we forgot, right?
But hey, I can still get you those presents.
It's not really the same.
Dennis, it's not even really the presents. It's the thought.
No, the thought is the... I do have a lot of thought about you, too. You have been wonderful.
You have a lot of thought about us?
Yes.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
No, I think about you a lot.
We think about you.
Oh, you do?
We do, Dan.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of me? What do you think about?
Right now, I'm thinking about what kind of rat bastard buys gifts for Christmas a week after Christmas and then doesn't even have the decency to give them to his friends and instead goes out and turns them in and then has the balls to call up for free plugs for an outside gig he got from being on our show.
Gone. I will come down next week with gifts in hand.
Don't want your gifts now. Do you want his gifts now? You know something?
Yes.
Okay, Mike.
I do. I love Dennis's gifts. I think I get the best gifts when Dennis comes down here.
Hey,
Dennis, did you hear what I just said?
What?
Sometimes you should slow down, take a deep breath, and listen to what I just said.
Okay.
I think I get the best gifts. You know what that means?
Yes.
Maybe you should tweak up the other guy's gifts a little bit. The man I'm looking at right now, Mr. Geronimo's gift, because frankly, he'd like a Raven sweatshirt, but I know that you could do better.
Gone. What is better than a pullover Raven sweatshirt?
Oh, gee, Dennis, absolutely nothing. If you were to ask me anything I want in the world, that would be the first thing I'd say would be a pullover Raven sweatshirt. Jesus, I was being polite.
I will tweak up the gifts this year. I will tweak up the gifts, and you'll be quite...
Listen, Dennis, listen, we're busting your balls, but you understand. It's insulting that you say you have gifts, and then we inquire about them, and you tell us that you returned the gifts.
And Dennis, really, we're not going to tell you, yes, we want you to bring gifts down here. We're just not about that. It's all up to you.
Okay, up to me, and one day I'll pop them.
Use your best judgment.
What do you think? Christmas in July?
No, how about Christmas on next week in February?
Use your best judgment.
I'll use my best judgment.
Dennis, let your conscience be your guide.
As you
sell your T-shirts and your CDs through the show, as you fly on luxury jets to exotic locations.
Well, actually, I flew on a bat. in the back row of a prop plane here.
Listen, as you fly on exotic planes to outstanding locations to do fantastic remote broadcasts from...
And my flight is canceled? Wonderful flight.
We ask for nothing in return, Dennis.
Right. Okay, you will get something in return. You will get your return on investment from
Dennis,
me.
Dennis, how are you planning on getting to Iowa?
Well, actually, the flight is, there's a major plane going at 6:20, so I should be arriving in Logan, Illinois by 7:45.
Are you in the airport? Were you in the airport bar charming the bartender?
Well, actually, I'm going to the airport bar now to have a couple beers.
Mm-hmm. How would you like to be the person on that crowded prop plane, you know, three to an aisle, either on the left or the right of him, and have Dennis Murphy in between you? You know, the boozy...
Right, he'll be boozy by the time he gets on that
boozy
plane.
The boozy, sweaty, smelly Dennis Murphy right in between the two people.
Is it warm in the airport?
It's warm in the airport. It's only 2 degrees outside.
Wow.
Yeah. Gotcha.
No, but you'll get your return on investment sometime next week. I promise.
All right, well, Dennis, you know, God works in mysterious ways.
Hey, God?
So, in case your plane crashes...
Oh.
I just want to say you've been a good, loyal friend.
Thank you, God. And I owe you my life for you and Mike. Because if it wasn't for you, I would be a normal old accountant.
What time's your show on in Iowa
tomorrow? Actually, Mike, you want to give me a call and give me a request?
Now, Dennis, it took a lot for me just because I'm very angry about the lack of gifts.
Okay.
I was simply giving you an opportunity to plug your show.
9 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Hey, Cherry, time slot. Cherry, time slot, man.
Coast to coast.
And are you going to be there alone, or will you have an assistant?
I will have an assistant. Hopefully a nice-looking young lady by the name of Brooke.
Brooke? All right. Well, good luck with your radio show, Dennis, and good luck with your flights.
I hope you get lots of listeners tomorrow night.
I will have a listener, don't worry.
The listeners.
Right.
And Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Can you give me a call at 319? 358-1630.
You know what, Dennis?
Is that the line? Is that the line that's going to be for the
show? That is the request line.
Right.
Yes, he is. You know what? Everybody, listen to Dennis. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Don't listen to him. Listen to him.
Listen to Dennis tomorrow night.
MISTEN. Okay, there's your plug. Get out of here.
Okay, hey, Gon.
What?
You have a pleasant weekend.
I will.
Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
I have a couple beers on me.
Thank you.
Buzz.
Yes, Dennis.
You are doing splendid. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you, Dennis.
And Buzz, Rob,
don't even speak to Rob because you didn't even get him a gift that you returned.
Okay, Rob, I will get you a present. Don't worry. Right.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Bye, Santa.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, happy holidays.
Can you put me on hold so I can hear the show?
No, happy holidays. Goodbye.
Oh, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I got to stay here for 2 hours.
Dennis, hang up.
Jesus, there he goes. Jet setter.
Right on.
The life of Dennis on the road.
He just returned our gifts.
That's Dennis.
He just returned the gift.
That's Dennis.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, doing good. This is Carl calling from Baltimore.
Hello.
I just wanted to remind you, as long as I've been listening, every year Dennis is late with your gifts.
He is, but this is a first. This is the first time he's ever... Return the gift.
This is the first time he's
returned the gift afterwards.
Normally, that's what we do.
Yeah, right.
And it's the first time he's been so late that he just, decided to bag it.
Just gave up on it.
I've kept some of my gifts, though, but
yeah, so have I.
Really?
Have you really?
No, I have.
Yeah.
Have you kept your gifts, Don?
Uh-uh.
I returned the...
I don't think I kept one gift.
See, that's why he's got to tweak it up.
However, I don't think I returned them. I believe I re-gifted.
Yeah.
I used my commuter mug this very week.
Didn't I take that thing, that golf... That golf thing
that
he bought me.
Yeah, Brookstone, right?
To get a Brookstone and got something nice from
him. Yeah, you know, Dennis, if he's thinking, he might want to leave the receipts, because if you don't have the receipt, you're going to have to return it for the lowest price it's been in the past 30 days.
I got a set of steak knives. I remember that now. Steak knives and a carving set.
I remember that.
Hello.
From Dennis.
Are they good?
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Gods, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, this here Dennis think about you all the time is making the oogie.
This what?
Making the oogie.
What is?
Dennis thinking about you all the time.
Dennis,
anyway, doesn't make us oogie.
No. Yeah.
Anyway, did y'all happen to catch that show on Fox last night about the conspiracy theory on landing on the moon?
No, here's what I did with that. I watched the first 2 minutes, and I watched the last 3 minutes.
Right.
And it's almost like a guy back in high school told me, if you really want to read an article, but you don't want to read an article, read the first paragraph and read the last paragraph, and you can pretty much summarize everything that's in between.
The lead and the close.
Like a way to cheat when you don't have time to read.
Right.
And I knew that, of course, there really is no conspiracy about landing on the moon. So I watched the beginning where they set it up, where they said, you know, did we actually land on the moon or was this a theatrical hoax?
God, what a scam.
And then I turned the last 3 minutes on.
Hoax is the TV show.
The last 3 minutes when they said, basically, was it a hoax? We'll never know. I guess you draw your own conclusions.
That's funny.
You know, Fox.
My name's Fox. Hey, Mike, what kind of drum kit you got?
Tama Swing Star.
I hear you.
All right.
How good are you?
I suck.
You and me both.
I'm crap.
your band is crap.
Yeah. A lot of them were saying to me last night that I am crap.
Mike told me
your little slug line there has been adopted by the members of the band.
Mike told me that they had the band practice last night.
We had a bad practice.
That they might be the worst band ever in the history of the world.
We are crap.
When do we get a tape?
Well, we're not even like near that stage.
Why can't we get a tape of you guys rehearsing?
All right, I'll get a tape the next rehearsal. We might have a keyboard player. Next time we all get together, I'll tape a song.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
¿Cómo están?
What? Speak the English.
How are you?
We are fine. How are you?
Very, very good. I listen to my music and I listen to your show.
Thank you.
I want to know why you always talk to Dennis Murphy. He's not funny. He's ugly.
He is a friend.
He has one arm, what is very disturbing.
Are you upset because we bombed your country today?
What is that?
Are you upset because the United States bombed your home country today?
I'm upset because I banged your wife today.
Hey!
Gotcha.
Hey.
It's a fake accent.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Damn it.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi.
I was wondering about that wine disappearing.
Yes, two bottles of wine from our office are gone. They're disappeared.
That's pretty unusual. I never really hear you talking about stuff getting stolen, and I thought it was kind of unusual. Those engineers were in there until 4 o'clock last night in the morning.
Let me tell you something. The last guys in this studio that would do this would be those engineers.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the engineers.
They're coffee and tab drinkers.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, no, hold on. Don't forget how drunk Wendell was down at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Wendell's beer is Wendell's food.
Yes, that's right. Beer is food. Food is good.
And we're not sure about the new guy, the new chief engineer.
I don't think.
I'm not sure what he's into. I think he's into, like, gadgets.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever been laid. Much less drink. Jesus.
Has he got some kids?
Hey, okay.
Next month.
The key word is adoption.
Oh, no.
So you tell me he's fathered children? The new chief engineer?
Yeah.
Really? You mean he's not all smooth like a G.I. Joe on his genitals?
No, Mike Friedman, I think his first baby is due in like a month or less.
Really?
His wife, I think, is named, Elkie.
Former engineer Dan Rice was extremely fertile.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Well, he's very potent.
Baby-making machine.
Yeah, women wouldn't get within 10 feet of him without getting pregnant.
This is his first child?
Yes.
Okay, last call. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a quick message. I was in the airport the other day in the lounge, and I was checking in, and all of a sudden I heard behind me, "Can I get on the airplane first?" And it was Larry King. And he made a big commotion about trying to get on the airplane before everybody else.
You don't believe this guy?
Not as far as I can throw him.
It's true.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it isn't.
He was in Dallas on the way to L.A.
Nope.
Why don't you believe him?
I think he's called before.
No, I have not. First time caller.
What was the airline?
American.
What time did the flight leave?
8 o'clock, 8:10.
A.M., P.M.?
A.M.
Why were you going?
I was going on business.
For what?
In L.A. at 10:39.
And why did you say you were in the lounge checking in?
In the lounge, in the club for American Airlines.
Oh, okay, the first-class lounge?
Yeah, right, in the Admiral's Club lounge, right.
That's good, all right.
And
so maybe you believe him?
Nope.
Well, the funniest part is this. Because I'm sitting on the plane. It was an early flight, so it was...
Please believe it.
Why would Larry King say, I have to get on the airplane first when he was in the club lounge for first-class passengers?
Yeah, he was talking to the lady behind the counter at the lounge, asking to be let on the plane first. And then...
Don't you see that as a plausible situation? Hi.
Absolutely, I do.
Hi. This is Larry King. Listen,
extremely plausible.
I must get on the airplane first.
No, I do think there's a chance.
It was exactly, and I heard you guys in the back of my mind the whole freaking time, and I could not stop laughing. Then when I got on the plane, because it was a morning flight, they're like, we'll be serving breakfast. And then I started busting out laughing.
Well, then, you know, if you're telling the truth, I apologize for questioning your sincerity.
It's okay. It sounds a little crazy, but it was hilarious. I laughed the whole way to L.A. the time I thought about breakfast.
And was he, of course, flying in the front of the plane?
He was in the front of the plane, of course. And he was all, when I got on, he was all kicked back. And he had on, you know, suspenders and the horse and his feet up and his shoes off.
Now I believe him.
Wait, but in the Admirals Club before he left, I looked over and he was reading the National Enquirer.
Listen, now I'm with Mike.
Yeah.
This guy sounds like such a doofus, I don't believe him.
I know. I was hysterical because I was thinking about you guys the whole time.
This
is true.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
I'm
it's
sorry.
True. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You've gone too far.
Thank you, though.
Yeah, and that's usually a dead giveaway, yeah, too. There's usually a lot more protesting if he's legit.
All right, I guess you're right.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chance. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Stand up, dance.
Okay, stand up.
Come on, Dobby. Don't be scared.
Okay.
I wrote this.
I wrote this song myself.
I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancing man. The chancing man. We love the chancing man. The chancing man.
Oh, we gotta get on the plane. I gotta get on the plane first.
Yeah.
I, me. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
First time caller. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. I actually just had something to tell you about the girl Amy on your show on Valentine's Day.
Amy, oh, the girl with the website?
That's no,
Anne Marie.
No, the dancer.
Anne Marie.
PCR.
Okay.
She was a dancer at a club.
Oh, right. Amy the stripper. Right. Okay.
Yeah. She was talking about how she wanted this guy to ask her out. That was a client of hers.
Yes.
Well, that's my brother.
I'll tell your brother to ask her out.
I can't. He's married. He got married last month.
Oh, then what's he doing hanging around with a stripper?
Well, he moved to North Carolina. He dated actually a couple of the dancers up there at TCR. It's a really nice place.
I think you might be confused, ma'am, because what she said is she doesn't date clients.
Yeah, that's
at
what
all.
She said. Absolutely. Rob's right. Right.
But you were successful in getting the name of that establishment on the air.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
I guess that was it, maybe. I don't know.
Score and congratulations.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, you don't.
I
no, you know what you are? You're trouble.
Oh, my.
Troubled whore.
Oh,
but we bro. Thank you for your call.
Oh, bro.
Well, I must have misunderstood.
It's hard to laugh.
I really
isn't
thought
it?
That she said that she was waiting for a specific guy to ask her out.
No, no.
Nothing like
no,
that.
That's no. Not the case at all.
Not even close.
Hey, Rob, I like the new low key you.
Mm-hmm. You see, this is, I just don't care for this lady because she's wrong and she's plotting and she's devious.
Yeah.
She has a way about her and she's a whore.
Oh, my.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, just one more call.
If she doesn't laugh, she cries.
Laura, the winner from Valentine's Day is on the phone and would like to talk about her reputation.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Hello, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How you doing, party girl?
Not good.
Why?
Because I just got a phone call from my mom telling me that I'm going out with Colin tonight.
Well, that's what he said.
That's not what happened. I said, maybe. I'll give him a call when I get home.
Did you ask out Charlie Broyhill?
Did I?
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God.
Do you have a date with Colin tonight?
No, I don't.
Oh, boy. Colin, did Colin blow it by coming in here and telling us on the air?
I think
probably.
So.
Most likely. It sounds like it.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Did you talk to Colin a couple of hours ago?
Yes.
Did he ask you out?
Yes, and I told him maybe. I'd give him a call when I got home.
And now the only reason you're not going to go out with him is because your mom heard the show?
Rob handed me a nice question. Will you ever date Colin now?
I doubt it.
Oh, dear.
What about Broyhill?
I doubt it.
What about Mr. Perfect?
Of course.
Oh, of course.
All right.
Of course. He's a really nice guy.
Okay. All right.
All right. So did you want to say anything else?
No, I just...
Are you really just concerned because your mom heard the show? Is that it?
Oh, no, I heard a few things that you were saying in the background, and I was just like, oh, no.
You mean about dating everybody?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It just sounded when Colin came in here and then we heard that you had said that to Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, Charlie, come here for a minute. Charlie Broyhill.
You're out of control over there.
Hold on. Well, no, we'll get to the bottom of it. It's very simple.
Everybody talks at a radio station.
Hey, Charles Broyhill, would you come in grace us for a moment, please?
Charlie Broyhill didn't talk, though. I believe Lisa handed Don a note.
Yes, that said you had asked Charlie out. Charlie, what did Laura say to you?
She said, as she was coming out of the bathroom, she said, you know, you're not getting any younger. Why don't we go out?
Did you say that to him?
Yeah, and it was a joke.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, dear.
What about with Colin?
That's why I said it laughing.
What about with Colin Coitus?
No.
If you had to choose between Charlie Broyhill and Colin, who would you pick?
Now you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, right.
That's the whole idea.
Right.
Probably, I don't know.
Come on, pick one.
Charlie
Broyhill.
Is that a shocker?
Cool. Yeah.
Always the way with him, isn't it? Charlie Broyhill.
So you were only kidding with Charlie when you asked him out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what if Charlie was to ask you out?
No.
Why? You wouldn't date Charlie Broyhill?
No.
He's a single, successful guy.
I see that.
Right.
Because Charlie's a little uptight for me.
What do you mean he's a little tight for you?
Uptight.
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 Uptight. Uptight. He doesn't look uptight. I don't think any of us are uptight.
Mike's posing now.
All right, Laura. Well, listen, you know, who knows? All I know is that you won a contest with a guy on the show 2 days ago,
and we come into work today, we find out you asked two other guys who work here. You asked them out on dates.
No, I didn't.
It's okay.
It's okay if you did.
Well, it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're young, single, you know.
Right.
It's all
right. If you want to date the world, go ahead.
Exactly, but I don't... No.
Now, you're broken. I know you're broken. Colin really is probably... His heart is broken right now.
So, for the record, you're not going out with Colin tonight?
I'm
going
to call him. I'm going to give him a call.
Hold on. Hold on just a second, honey. Hold on.
We can take care of that. Yeah,
hold on. Save
just
the
bring
trouble.
Him in.
Hold on.
Yeah, we can bring him in.
Just bring him in.
Yeah, get Colin.
Real fast. Let's bring Colin in.
Bring him to us.
He's young. He's got to still be here.
He's your competition now.
Because when Colin came in the studio during the commercial break,
he said, I got a date with her. And then he went down the hallway going, yeah. He was very excited.
He was
absolutely euphoric, Laura.
He was
Laura.
Boasting about the fact that he had had you for tonight.
I think you should still go out with him, Laura.
Cleaning the pipes?
That is cool.
And what, is Colin gone, Robbie?
He's gone. I think he's at the youth center.
Okay. Well, you're lucky. Colin's not here. Okay, but for the record...
I'll give him a call at home and let him know.
Give him a call at home?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on just a moment. I'll let you make that call on the air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll call Colin at home.
Where's my phone?
Don't do that.
Where's my phone?
The back there.
Colin, what's his last...
There.
Hold on, you find him? Yeah, okay, hold on. I'll call him right now. You leave the message. Hold on, please. Hold on.
We're going to call Colin and find out exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Laura's concerned about her reputation, although she needn't be.
Well, but I mean, foolish move on Colin's part to come in here and brag. Yeah, a little premature.
Better keep it on the QT.
So she can leave the winner.
I mean,
she can leave the message that he's not the winner.
Hello?
Colin.
Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, you're on the air. Laura's on the air with us. She wants to talk to you.
Oh, great. Hey, hold on 1 second. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Yeah, okay, what's...
Colin.
Something. Yeah, hey.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Why did you go and tell everybody I was going to go out on a date with you? I told you maybe I would give you a call home. And it was all over the radio. My mom calls me up and leaves me this silly message. And now it's like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even want to go out now.
I'm sorry.
Good answer, okay. Colin.
I'm sorry. That's from the Dennis Murphy School of Talking to Women.
Yeah, I know. I botched it, you know. I apologize. I'm not the professional with this, I guess. I don't know. I screwed up. I apologize. I didn't mean to embarrass you like that.
Oh, God.
Right, so you're not going out with him tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Colin. Hey, that's cool. No worries. I apologize. I screwed it up.
Colin,
what?
You're mishandling this.
I know.
I said, I don't think so. Did you hear that word think? That means like, hey, I'd like to make it up to you over dinner.
I would, but, you know, it's a little awkward to try to redeem myself in national. Well, I guess I've already kind of...
Well, you came in here and you screamed at me and like, hey, I'm going out with her. Ha, ha.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was, you know,
so now,
national,
you know,
radio.
Colin, you may not be getting another opportunity.
Okay, listen. Hey, Laura, are you still there?
Yeah.
Is there any way I can try to make it up?
No.
Please, just for a few minutes.
Oh, God.
Let me come by just for a few minutes and say hi, and we'll see what happens.
I'll call you when I get home.
Please do.
I will.
Colin, I think that you ought to take that and run.
I will. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Colin, between now and then, try to grow a set, okay?
I will try.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye, Laura.
Bye, babies.
Bye.
Bye, Laura.
Bye. Christ, what a mess this show has been today.
Wow.
Really, somebody's got to come in with a mop after this show. Been a lot of fun, though. Hello.
Hey.
Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal, you were in the contest the other day.
Yeah.
Hi.
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 I just wanted to bust Laura out real quick, that's all.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, she was all over Charlie the whole time we were there. She kept running down the hall after him, pulling him in the room, grabbing his hand. She asked him out and then came back and was like, oh, he turned me down, he wouldn't go out with me. So, I just want to bust her out on that.
Well, if Laura's listening, that thing about Charlie turning her down, don't be fooled.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Don't be fooled by the hard to get, I'll throw the rock at you, Charlie Broy.
Yeah, right.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye, Crystal. Who's the boy that threw the rock in my head at recess?
I love him.
He's my honey.
Me love him. Me love him long time.
That's right.
All right, clear him out. We got to make him some time. We're going to try to give away some money now.
Yeah.
All right. With the secret song, it's worth $500. You know the drill. Be the 100th caller. You get a shot of the money at 877-365-3636. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
On survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife, anticipation of that voting, barely getting by, and your spirit has been broken when you hear Jeff Probst say, hey, the tribe has spoken. Survivor's life, waving to a deadly spider, well, you'd think that I could find a ruin, maybe rider. It's a quick man's game, you gotta moderate the sass. And you must remember
that I take it up the ass
out loud.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
You know, I can definitely tell the survivor's not as hot as it was.
Yeah. Right.
That on the day after the show, last year we would devote like 2 hours talking about it. Today was maybe 10 minutes and mainly talking about the pig being killed last night.
Yeah, and you never know, though. I mean, it could get interesting again, but right now it's not looking good.
It might. Okay, we have Caller 100 coming right up. Then we have the brand new low budget Jeopardy for you. Keep in mind, if you live in Reno, we're going to be there on Friday.
Hey.
Doing a live show from station KPLY.
All right.
Oh, yes, here's the latest announcement about that.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show. Less than 1 week away, this Friday, February 23rd, at Harris at Lake Tahoe, 8 p.m. sharp. It is first come, first serve. I don't want to see no panties.
Right, I don't want to see no panties. That's a line from a Barry White song, incidentally.
Yeah.
And then actually we should use that one to take off that brassiere.
Oh, man.
My dear.
Oh, baby.
We will be at KPLY next Friday doing a live show on the network from Reno.
All right.
We'll be playing strip trivia. We will start the trolling for that on Tuesday, day after President's Day.
Cool.
And the Las Vegas Style Show Friday night at Harrah's in Lake Tahoe.
A big casino hotel. Showbiz.
And the best part for everybody who comes to the show.
Are you ready for this?
No restrictions.
Yay!
No restrictions at all.
So if you're the type of person that likes to get up on stage and get naked.
Right. Play our reindeer games. Come on by. Now, I'm not sure exactly how. It's kind of a fuster clock with getting the tickets.
Right.
I know that there the room that we're in holds 1,000 to 1,200 people.
Okay.
And the tickets will be released, from what I've been told, at 9 o'clock on Friday morning.
So it's one of those deals where you have to get there early.
Yeah, I think that half the tickets are going to be released at the place in Tahoe,
mm-hmm.
and half of the tickets are going to be at KPLY or at a car dealership or somewhere where they want you to go out.
Listen to KPLY. They'll have all the details on how you can get tickets to the show.
To get the tickets. But it, like I said, it only holds 1,200, maybe 1,300 people. First come, first serve. So get your tickets, and we'll see you in Reno. We'll be there 1 week from today.
Right.
And Washington, D.C., do not feel left out, because the big thank you for number one ratings Las Vegas-style show is Tuesday, March 6th.
That's right.
In Fredneck, Maryland.
We will see you in Frederick.
And that's the night that Mike and I are going to buy drinks for everybody.
Absolutely. Right.
He's going to have a big thanks for making the show number one part.
Because Don and I were discussing, you don't go up to Frederick without a couple of drinks.
Right. You got to.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Caller 100?
Yeah, right.
Hot damn.
Caller 100, that's you. What's your name, my friend?
Hot damn, my name's Kevin Daniels from Sacramento. I cannot believe this. The first day I've ever had off, truck driver. Been dying to get in here.
All right. Well, good for you. Thanks for listening to the show on KHTK.
You betcha.
Good show. If you have day off, it was a good show to listen to. We had all the stuff with Colin Coitus and the fight with Lisa.
Right.
And we got the situation with the... Oh, I talked to the guy from Dell Computer.
Yeah?
There will be two brand new computers delivered. Thank you, Dell Computer.
Fantastic.
On Tuesday, so we'll finally have our own goddamn computer system to work the telephones.
Beautiful.
With. And we had Chuck Stossel, an action-packed show today.
Yeah.
Laura calling in, complaining. I was talking to Charlie during the break, who told me, without a doubt, that Laura was asking him out.
Yeah.
On Wednesday when she was here. Right. Without a doubt.
Well, she might be going out with Colin still tonight.
Yeah, that might get worked out.
Sure.
So it's a good show. You listen to the whole show today. Thank you for that. You've won the 7-Eleven Dark Roast Mountain Coffee Prize Pack.
Right on.
That's right. It's a great prize pack, Rob.
It's delicious.
Stop by 7-Eleven every Wednesday this month for a free sample of the new coffee. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Now you're going to play for $500 American with Secret Song number 6. It was a number one song in the 1970s. Give us the title and artist. You're going to win the money. Make it a great weekend for yourself. Please don't answer till Mike sings like
Willie Nelson.
And we wish you, and you know what? We get billing over Willie Nelson.
He's on my mind.
Next Friday night at Harrah's in Tahoe. We wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. A beautiful love song. I was singing that to Frida on Valentine's night over and over again. What a love song. Money that we're giving away is courtesy of Main Street Title.
You had not have fallen, and I would not have found you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. For $500. Title and artist, please.
Oh, buddies. Afternoon Delight, and I can't think of the artist.
All right, I'm going to help you. No, I'm not going to help you. No! Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
All righty.
And don't forget, every guest.
It's a clue for you.
Clue for you. You got to have the artist in the title. You got to have it. Okay, we're up on a break. Next, Low Budget Jeopardy. I want to tell you that we had scheduled today Mike's Chris Rock.
Uh-huh.
However, with developments in the news, we will be going live to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
A very special, very timely and topical Low Budget Jeopardy right after the
number one Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
All right, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, you know, me and Mike have a meeting every week about, you know, who's going to be on Low Budget Jeopardy.
Right. Right.
Mike was ready with his Chris Rock today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
But there is a breaking story down on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, yeah. I think it's important to point out that the Don and Mike show responds to today's news headlines.
So now,
break.
Well, let me play the jingle, then I'm going to see if we can actually get the line down to 1600. Now, you know, normally we open a door, right, but I'm not going to open the door.
No.
I just have to try to pull the right thing up on the
ladder.
On the thing. No, hold on. Hello, come in, White House.
Can we get rid of the echo?
What's wrong? What's our fire?
Get out of the echo. I can't hear you.
Hello, George?
George,
the whole thing in a margarita glass.
You're on the air.
Stir it up good.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know. I'm supposed to do some kind of radio thing.
Now, he has not addressed the nation yet, has he, Buzz?
No, not yet.
He's been making his first address to the nation.
Is this microphone I'm supposed to speak?
And his first crisis, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to do any ad-libbing, are
we? Dear President George W. Bush.
Wow. Where's the sheet? No paper. I'm supposed to read off of.
We have a direct line to the White House. Mr. President, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Mr. President.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Mr. President, Don Geronimo. I didn't vote for you, but
Don, it's good to, good to hear
from you. I almost voted for you.
It's good to hear from you. It's George Bush. How are you? It's been a busy day. We're doing some of these media interviews here. We're just trying to get it all straightened out and trying to figure everything out. And, we want to be strong and project an image of strength as we restore dignity and honor to the White House. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Can you tell us exactly what the United States did today?
Oh, yeah. We had a good day. I don't know. They're supposed to give me a piece of paper here.
Hold on. Just tell me off the top of your head, what do we do today?
This is a Chinese takeout menu.
What did we do today?
That's not going to work.
Huh? Did you have a meeting with guys?
Yeah, sure. I'll paraphrase. I don't need a sheet of paper to talk to you or anybody in the media. I'll give it to you straight.
Okay.
Earlier today, I had some meetings with the guys, with the medals. The joint chief of staff. Who the hell's that in the background?
Buzz?
Hello, is this?
I think he can only handle talking to one guy at a time.
What the hell? I heard somebody talking there. I was just talking to
President Bush. That was some CB interference.
I had a meeting earlier today. It was decided that we were going to attack somebody.
Who?
The people over there, in India.
No.
Huh?
No, wrong country.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The people over in Iran, violated the
wrong country.
Son, I just got to tell you something. I'm officially now the President of the United States, and I'm telling you how it is, and I know what's going on, so I'll tell you. You're telling me I'm wrong, but I'll tell you, I gave the order. I'm the president. I gave the order in the plane. I was up in the plane today. I got a special office up there.
It was Iraq.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you said Iran.
Oh, hell, same difference. You know what I'm talking about. They're the same countries, exactly the same. I was up on the big plane, the one with all the buttons. Yeah, I got an office up there that's got phones in it, and I said, we got a problem with the guys over there, the people that live in the sand. They're violating the 37th parallelogram, and I said, rock and roll. Let's knock the crap out of them. Because I believe restoring honor and dignity to the White House and also getting a stronger military. So I said, you go. This one fella, he's on the plane with me. He wanted to come along for the ride down to Mexico. And we just got back a couple hours ago. And I might still be there. Where am I right now?
Huh?
I'm still in Mexico.
You're still in Mexico?
Hold on. Where's that helper of yours? Am I still in Mexico right now?
Yes, you are.
Still in Mexico. So I tell you, we're down here in Mexico. I'm meeting with President Foxy, and he's a good guy. And I tell you, a general came up to me on a plane and said, George, I still call myself George. He said, Mr. President, we got a problem over in the Middle East. And I said, I like the Middle East. I've gone up there. That's where D.C. is, the Mid-Atlantic. And he said, no, sir. I'm talking about overseas.
Do you know where Iraq is?
Sure do.
Where?
I've got a map of it right in front of me here. I got all sorts of
maps. Where is Iraq?
And we're going to drop a bomb on them. We did a war strike.
Where is Iraq?
Right here.
Well, now, I can't see that, sir. We're doing
it's over near, it's between Italy and Australia.
No, I think you're wrong.
How's that? Puts that in your pipe and smoke it. That's not the point. Point is we have a strong military that responds to any aggression throughout the world. And I think it's important that we have everybody stress the fact that we defend our interests. And that's what we did. We defended our interests.
Did you call your dad?
I did. He was proud of me. He said, man, I bombed them too. And I said, Daddy, I bombed them. I did. They came to me, the guys with the big shiny medals, and they said, press that button, and they're gone. But I won't press the button. I'm just kidding you. He said, but I gave the order. I said, go ahead. And that's my, I just like to say, that's going to be my philosophy from now, from this point forward. We're not going to be like that guy that took dignity and honor away from the White House. I'm going to say, when their general comes to me and said, Mr. President, airstrikes are authorized, I'll say, I'll authorize them. You bomb first, ask questions later. That's how you gain respect in the international community. And I tell you, I made a joke that didn't go over with the president of Mexico. I said, you know, you better straighten up and fly right to Pachanga. We'll be doing the same thing to you. He didn't like it, though. He didn't think that was a good joke. But that's, seriously, if I can be serious for a second, you know, my goal is to have a strong military.
Have you been able to stay sober through this crisis?
Of course I have. I haven't had a drink since I was 40 years old. I've had many years of sobriety, and I tell you right now, I'm feeling pretty damn good about that. Sure, we had a tequila shooter earlier today, but this is Mexico. You have to honor other people's customs and cultures, and it's right in there in the bylaws of George W. Bush. I said to myself, when I go abroad, I'll honor the customs and cultures of the other countries. If those involved doing tequila shooters with the president of Mexico, by golly, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to assault my host. That's not the way I operate. It's not the way I do it, mister.
Were you drinking when you gave the order to bomb Iraq?
Oh, that's a tough one now. You know, it's the hours tend to run together when you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do this country job, this one of the country thing, the president thing. I got papers and books, all sorts of phones, hey, buttons, and I got communications. I got people running around there kissing my ass all day. I tell you, it's a fun job. We might have had a cocktail or two. We might have had a frozen margarita before I gave that order, but I'm not quite sure what's happening right there.
Are you still upset about that dude that shot fired the shots at the White House?
Who's that?
Last week.
Fired who? I didn't fire anybody.
No.
John Ashcroft's my attorney general. He's going to stay that way, pal. I'm not going to be intimidated by these scare tactics of the Democrats.
No. There was a guy in front of the White House with a gun last week who fired a couple of shots.
Oh, come on now. Don't be ever see that. That was a pop gun.
No.
That was a toy gun. That was a cap gun, and that's what it was. That's what my national security advisor came to me that very morning in the White House. He said, sir, there have been some shots fired outside, but don't you worry. That's a pop gun, a cap gun that they were firing. It was not a real gun. And I said, A-okay. You mean to tell me the President of the United States is wrong about that, sir?
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely wrong. It's a pop gun. It's a cap gun. I got these papers. We got to go to dinner in just a few seconds. Hey, Laura, get my tuxedo shirt.
Shouldn't you be, like, in command of this mini-war that we're having right now?
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on just a second.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me, we're in Mexico.
What was that?
Sorry, I passed some gas. We're in the city of Mexico, and I'll tell you right now, it's a beautiful city, and we got lots of good times we're going to have. You know, we're going to go up north in a few days and go back to the United States, but President Foxy and I are just compatible soulmates.
I don't think there's an E on the end of that or a Y. I don't think it's Foxy. I think it's President Fox.
Yeah, just Fox.
Like the TV network.
That's fantastic. I tell you, I don't care what you call him, but he's a fine man with a good, firm handshake. And he looks you square in the eye when he meets you, and I just think that's the best way it's supposed to be. I believe in looking at somebody square in the eye and saying, I'm George W. Bush. I'm your president. And I want to look you square in the eye. So I just want to apologize to anybody that got all uptight about that cap gun outside the White House. But it's nothing to worry about. As far as our bombing of Iran today,
Iraq.
They violated the parallelogram where the fly zone that we were going to zone around in. So I just said, you know, they can't do that. We're the United States of America. We're a strong country. We're a country that believes in values and morals. And we're not going to tolerate some dictator like Idi Amin is going to just send his jets all over the place and try to shoot our men down. This is not acceptable.
Idi Amin.
I tell you right now, it's not acceptable. And I'll persecute anybody. I'll make them rue the day they were born if they're going to try to mess with the United States. And hopefully, when this is resolved, we can get this bombing over with and bring peace back to that part of Europe so that people can actually function and thrive and enjoy each other's company and be part of the world of nations as they get together and join hands with some of their neighbors, like Yugoslavia and all the other people that have participated in the persecution of that country for so long.
You want to win a prize?
Yeah, I'd love to win a prize.
Spell Iraq.
Sure.
Iraq, excuse me. I'm giving the American pronunciation. Iraq.
Iraq. I?
Yes.
E-N-T. I got it. And you know, that's the way they spell it over there.
Okay.
You might not have it right here, but that's the way we spell it over there. I have to know all languages.
All right.
Cultures.
How do you spell it here in America? Iraq.
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 I-R?
Yes.
Ack. A Iraq. Iraq. I-R-A-K.
No, it's I-R-A-Q.
I don't think I'm really hearing you, mister. I think you're contradicting the President of the United States. You know who you're talking to right now. I'd like a little bit of respect. And the answer is that I don't want to say. I met with my advisors the first day.
It's Iraq. I-R-A-Q.
I called the advisors in the White House and I said to them, listen to me. I don't care if I'm wrong. It's not up to you to point that out to me. You go ahead and fix it. But don't just trouble me by saying you're wrong about this stupid old dumb word or something that I got messed up on a map or something like that. That's why I hired you. You're the big egghead that got in from the big school. That's why I have Dick Cheney here. He's, you know, he's a Poindexter. You listen to that fat ass, and he'll go ahead and take care of your silly wars and all your problems. I surrounded myself with good people. It's not necessary to have cross every I or dot every T. I don't think that's essential to my presidency. I think what's essential is for me to understand people, and that's what I can do. I can communicate with people. Like when I say somebody, how are you? I'm George W. Bush. I'm the President of the United States. You can just see their eyes well up with tears, and they feel good that they're in the presence of greatness.
What did your dad say to you after you bombed Iraq?
He said, way to go, son. Did you make sure that you talk to the, something like the Joint
Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, what is that thing? You know that? And I say, yeah, those are guys you meet with. And I talked to my national security advisor, what's his face, and he said to me that, you know, that everything's on the... I said, Daddy, everything's hunky-dory. We did the airstrikes, and I authorized it. They're going to give me credit because the big explosions go boom.
What is an airstrike?
Airstrike's when they take a jet, and they fly it real low on the ground, and then they press a button, and it goes... It's a whale of an explosion. Giant puffs of sand coming because it's sandy over there in that part of Europe. And I'll tell you, the smoke just goes billowing up there, and it's like, man, I'll tell you, that's when you know. Let me tell you something, pal. I'll tell you, that's when I knew I'm the goddamn President of the United States.
I'll tell you, for the record, I don't believe that Iraq is part of Europe.
Well, I think you're a major league a-hole for saying that.
Well, I'm just...
You're like that guy from the New York Post or Times or whatever, that thing over there. He's a major league a-hole. Like, you know, oh, he didn't get this word right or he got this name wrong or he doesn't know this leader of a country. What the hell am I supposed to do here, you know? Am I supposed to be memorizing stuff all day? If I did that, I wouldn't get my workout in. I run 3 miles a day. Do you understand me, son? 3 miles a day, and I just can't sit there and go, oh, excuse me. Iraq's not a part of Europe. Oh, excuse me for being so incredibly stupid. I don't see you with the presidential seal on your nipple, pal.
No, you're on
that right now. It's just good. It's good. But I think, can we get serious for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
It's a good time to be an American. It's a good feeling of optimism in this country.
Why?
I don't know, but I just think there is. And I think it's a good thing. As I'm down here in Mexico...
Dog market took it up the ass again today.
That's okay. We're going to bounce back because this is a great country with good people and strong hearts. And in their hearts, they feel in their hearts that their hearts are good and strong. And it's strong and good and dignity and honor and things like that. Stuff that really... people care about and stuff, and I think that the stuff and things that we're doing is so many good things and stuff that's happening in this country. I'm very proud of the fact that the stuff and things that we want to do are strong and good, because the things and stuff that happen in my presidency will be... Let me tell you something. Donna, you're listening to me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, sir.
I'll tell you right now, this stuff that we're doing right now is going to be good. It's going to be a good thing.
Is it going to be stuff and good?
You remember that. I'll tell you right now, and I think in the words of Abraham Lincoln, this is a good time to be around here. I do feel that strongly from my heart. My heart is pure, Don.
Spell Iraq.
I-R-A-K.
Now, Iraq. What would you say if I told you the correct spelling is I-R-A-Q?
I'd say you're a major league a-hole. And there's no need for you to contradict the guy that's the sitting president of the United States that beat that little pussy from Tennessee. Just remember that like that. And I heard you're wow too there, Poindexter. I don't need any wows. I feel strong and good. And this is a thing we got here that's so big and powerful, you can't get your arms around it. You can't wrap it tight. You just got to coddle it and nestle and suckle at it and get your mouth on it.
You ever watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's a good show.
How high do you get up on the questions?
I don't. I probably get out of the first three most of the time, you know, and then they let the eggheads do that. That's their job. You see some of those boys, they probably haven't ever been out and thrown a ball. They probably just sit there and, like, you know, writing books all day long, reading and writing. There's more to life than that. You got to get out and smell the coffee and smell the flowers and just enjoy the good things and stuff that this country has to offer.
You ever get stumped by the $100 question?
Not really. No, I think I got most of those.
The first question?
the $100 question once. Bam. I say if I watch it, I watch it usually five nights a week. Is it on five nights a week?
It's on four.
Four nights a week. I watch it, but I'll tell you right now, sometimes I do. Probably one out of two times I'll get stumped by that question, but I love that show. I really like the Temptation Island. That's a good show. That really shows that they got a good thing going on there, man.
I'm surprised you like that.
I do. You know, I have a pure heart, but it's a good dynamic just to see how people behave. But I want to restore honor and dignity to the White House, so I can't, you know, go watching some of that crap that's on television, the real bad stuff.
Like what?
I don't know, the pornography stuff, you know, on the channels. Vivid.
Vivid TV.
I don't watch that, though.
What's the channel on DirecTV?
I know what it is because I skip by it.
What is it?
I watch a lot of television.
What is it?
$5.96.
How much does it cost to order one movie?
$10.99.
How long does
it's a
movie...
double feature, though.
How long does the movie last?
2 hours, 3 hours, tops. But I don't watch it.
You don't watch it?
It's not what I'm about. I want to... I tell you, we've had enough soil here. We've had enough of that furniture. And when you get a guy that just takes furniture that was designed for the country and he takes it and puts it in his private residence, I tell you, I'm saying, hey, you know what? That makes me sick to my stomach. Makes me sick to my stomach down to the bone. I was saying to the President Foxy today, we were doing a little mezcal, and he poured a little in the shot glass. We knocked it back. Warm down here, man. It's like 85 degrees. Great. Hey, you know, it's normally not that warm down here.
Yeah.
It's good country. Good beaches. And we were just sitting there going, man, what a scumbag he is.
You got
a hair pie. He's a dirtball.
You got the diarrheas?
I don't drink the water. That's one of the things. I'm honoring the cultural customs. Water will not touch my lips while I'm down in this country. I just respect this country because they're making an effort to clean up their water supply, I think.
Okay.
I do believe.
President Bush?
Yes, sir.
We're going to break.
Yeah.
We're going to come back, and we'll take the first two calls now to play Low Budget Jeopardy. You have time during this crisis, this mini war, you have time to play our game?
Oh, it ain't a war. We just bombed the crap out of some people today. It's not a war. You don't have to worry. Sleep well, America.
How do you spell Iraq?
IRAK is burning up tonight.
Okay.
That's right. They won't fly their little putrid jets around anymore.
Phone number is 877-365-3636.
Our fly boys put a whooping on them.
And we need the first two callers right now.
Absolutely. 1-2. Lickety split. President told you to do so. I'll stick around and judge your silly game.
Okay.
It's good to be here.
Glad to have you.
How are you?
Via closed circuit from Mexico.
It's nice being down here. I got a steak dinner to go to a little later on, but that's all right. I need to dry out just a bit before I go. You want to drink all through the day.
Okay.
That'll knock your socks off.
Stand by.
Then you'll have the squirts.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
We have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right, good sir. And Bob Dornan.
Bob Dornan.
Hello, Bob.
Easing your severe buttock trauma, the Don and Mike Show.
How is someone screaming out our names on Politically Incorrect? Did you hear that, Mr. President?
I didn't hear that. I hate that show. That's stupid. That's a stupid show. I don't follow that. It's not healthy. I'm in bed by that time anyway. I sleep from about 9 o'clock till about 10 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, now that's good. It's important to get a good night of rest. I give you a whole itinerary if you want of my schedule. I keep a schedule that keeps me fresh and on my toes.
All right, let's hear it.
I usually go to bed about 9:30 at night, right after watching some of the sitcoms. You know, I usually watch some of the funny shows or some of the reality program. It doesn't matter too much. Or maybe I'll slide a John Wayne movie in there, and then I'll sack out about 9:30, and I sleep pretty much all the way through the night. My strict orders is not to disturb me. I've got some sleep to get, so I sleep straight through till 10 o'clock in the morning. Then I wake up, have myself a big breakfast with eggs and bacon and sausages. And it's off to the gym for about an hour and a half, 2 hour workout. Then I take care of a little paperwork, and it's dinner time. Start the cycle again.
Pretty great gig.
Pretty great for me, ain't it?
Yeah.
How are you? Spellarack. R.A.K. Bombed them today.
Let's play the game, President Bush.
Just a little bit separate. Now in the studio are two challengers, new contestants they have for me from your staff of writers. This is a lab technician. Reno, Nevada.
No. Technician.
Yeah, there you go. Of course. Okay, Smartiac. From Reno, Nevada. Let's say hi to Jeannie Bauer.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, Jean.
Oh, President.
Where's she? Hi, Jean. There she is.
Yeah, hi, Jean in the lab. That's right.
Hey, that's kind of a joke. You get it, Mr. President?
Yeah.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Jean, like the cleaning ladies.
That's right.
Yeah, I got it. Now, what?
I was going to tell Mike and Don that while they're out here in Reno, Carrot Top's going to be at the lake at the at Caesars.
That boy's following you around, isn't he?
Now, be honest.
Yes.
He's your favorite comedian, isn't he?
Not my favorite. I like Gallagher first, but Carrot Top's a close second. When he reaches into his bag of tricks, we're going to have him up to the White House sometime so he can make Laura and I laugh like he does on his TV specials. Now entering the studio is a muscle man. A musician. Oh, yes. From Winchester, Virginia, let's say hi to Jimmy Burton. Hey, Bruton. Hey, Jimmy.
What's
How
up?
You doing? I like Jimmy. I like names that with Y. How you doing, Jimmy?
What's up, Bush?
And now entering the studio, host of Low Budget Jeopardy, Gene and Jimmy. Don't screw it without you. Say hi to Alex Trebek, Geronimo, who also likes Carrot Top as much as I do.
Oh, yeah. He's
Hello, LQ.
He's scary, scary funny. He is.
Oh, he's ass-kicking funny. That's what we say down in Texas.
Gene and Jimmy, don't forget to answer in the form of a question. I live with a mom, boy, and cook on time. Super Mr. Guy, call me Alex. This is playing the game. It's LQ. Chris Master, always call him. W.
Go Longhorns. Yeah. Hook 'em horns. Go Texas.
Here are your categories, and they are. Name that Chris Rock movie.
Oh, I hate his stuff. What a bunch of crap that is. Filthy, filthy, foul stuff. Should be purged.
Name that XFL team.
XFL. That's pretty good stuff. I like that.
Most dangerous jobs in the USA.
And I support everybody that does them.
Tom and Nicole starring in...
What's that mean?
Well, you know who Tom and Nicole are?
Yeah, he's that actor.
Yeah, he just divorced his wife.
Oh, she's a piece of ass.
And States and Capitals.
States and Capitals, that's fantastic. I believe, leave no child behind.
I'll give it to you one more time.
Very good.
Name that Chris Rock movie.
We can do without that one, Don, be perfectly frank with you.
Name that XFL team.
XFL's pretty good. Good news sport.
Tom and Nicole starring in...
Yeah, they're movie stars.
Most dangerous jobs in the USA.
Oh, lots of dangerous jobs, including this one right here.
States and Capitals.
States and Capitals. Good. Leave no child behind. Good educational program.
Gene, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We will start with you.
Most dangerous jobs in the U.S. for one.
How about you, Gene? That's good.
In the year 2001. Excuse me, the year 2000.
Oh. Last year.
That's last year.
Yes. I knew that.
In the year 2000, this occupation had the most fatalities in the United States. 762 deaths.
What is postal workers?
No.
Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how about you? It's your chance to steal.
Would that be disc jockey?
That was...
I got this one.
Not in the form of a question.
Can I try my hand at this one?
Sure.
Most dangerous job?
Yeah.
Sea captain.
No, it's a truck driver.
Damn it. Truck driver. All right, Gene, you're in control, dear. Go, how about you?
Well, let's go right on down to $2.
All right, most dangerous jobs in the United States for two. This job last year had the second most fatalities, 263 deaths.
What is taxi driver?
No.
How about you, Jimmy?
Window washer.
Again, Jimmy, not in the form of a question.
That wasn't it either, was it? I got this one sewed right. Up.
What?
Train conductor.
No, farm workers.
Yes.
Farm workers.
All right, Gene, you're in control, sweetheart.
Well, let's go right on down the line. Most dangerous jobs for three.
All right, the third most fatalities last year, 247 deaths.
What are police officers?
No.
Hey, how about you, Jimmy? How about you try a steal there so you get some points on the board?
What is firefighter?
No.
I got this one.
Yes, President.
Alligator wrestler.
No, construction workers.
Damn it. All right, Gene, you're in control.
Well, let's try the states and capitals.
Beautiful.
There you go. That's good and educational. Leave no child behind.
It is the capital of the state of Alabama.
What is Birmingham?
No way. Hey, Jimmy.
What is Huntsville?
No way.
What is it?
Tuscaloosa.
No, it's Montgomery.
Oh, okay, smarty pants.
Oh, man.
You just remember who you're talking to.
Montgomery, Alabama.
Talking to the president.
Well, let's see if we have better luck with $2 for states and capitals.
$2 for Jeannie. She talks all fancy-like.
It is the capital of the great state of Arkansas.
What is Little Rock?
Hey, no way. Finally.
Oh, she was right about that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give her $2. See, I got to write that $2 down in
yes,
the column right now.
Right.
Well, let's try for $3. States and capitals.
Hold on. I'm waiting for President Bush to write, too.
Yes. W.
Oh, my knuckles hurt. All right, go ahead.
Okay. It is the capital of the great state of Wyoming.
What is Cheyenne?
Hey, you pulled that out of your ass, honey. Nice going.
How about you, Gene? How about you, Gene? Way to go. You're in control. Select another category.
Well, how about Tom and Nicole starring in...
All right, these are all movies that Tom and Nicole did together.
Okay, that's good. I like movies. Movies are fun.
All right, NASCAR film.
What is...
All right, Jimmy, your chance to steal. I know this one, so if you don't get it, I'm going to get it.
What is Top Speed?
Top Speed.
All right. That's a dumb one there, Jimmy.
Yeah, President, what is it?
Running Man.
No. Days of Thunder.
All right. Okay, Gene, you're in control.
Let's try Tom and Nicole for $2.
From last year. Orgy film.
What is Eyes Wide Shut?
There you go.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Gene.
Why are you sorry? She got that one right.
I thought it was Predator.
No, she got it right.
All right, $2 for you then, Gene. How about you? How about you select again?
Well, how about selecting number 3 in Tom and Nicole? $3.
All right. Boring period piece set in the late 1800s, directed by Ron Howard.
What is Far and Away?
How the hell did she know
that?
Did
she get that one, too?
Yeah.
I thought that was Kindergarten Cop. All right, you got the $3 there, Gene. You better select again. The other fellow over here, hey, how about you, Jimmy?
It's a bitter battle.
You got no money there, son.
We'll get there.
Attaboy.
Let's try the Chris Rock movies.
Oh, come on.
For $1.
Come on, what's wrong with Chris Rock?
I think he's filthy. You know what? He cracked my ass up. He was on Regis this week.
Yeah.
And he said that until you went on the Oprah Winfrey show, that most of America thought you were retarded.
I just wonder if Sam Hill is funny about that.
It's funny.
Yeah, I don't think you think it's funny. I don't think it's funny.
Thought you were a retard.
I ride the big planes to Sun. So this Air Force One. I don't think it's funny at all. We'll see if you get Mr. Rock in the presence.
How do you spell Iraq?
R-E-K.
Okay.
Bombed him today.
Chris Rock movies for one. Co-stars Mel Gibson.
What is Lethal Weapon?
Can you be more specific?
Three?
No. No.
No?
Hey, Jimmy, come on, son. Here's your chance to jump on that board. Go to the second round.
What is Lethal Weapon 4?
There you go. There you go, Jimmy.
That's your first dollar. Jimmy, now let's see. You get a few more of these. You go right ahead, son.
Let's stick with Chris Rock, please.
Okay, a lot of confidence there.
Ah, jeez.
Co-stars Renee Zellweger.
Coming to America.
Right, and again, you know what? If he doesn't do his lame answer in the form of a question one more time, we're going to take his money away. What do you say, W?
I think it's a great idea. Take it away. Absolutely.
All apologies, LQ.
Just like my tax cut. Cut it away. Cut it out. Just like a cancer.
No need.
All right. Okay, Gene. You're in control.
You got a guess, honey?
Oh, you got a steal.
What
I'm
is
sorry.
Nurse Betty.
Yes, she got it. Nurse Betty.
$2. I'm sorry, Gene. We got a cranial cramp there. It's all Jimmy's fault. He's one of those hopped up hippie musicians. Probably on heroin. All right.
Let's go with Chris Rock for $3.
Well, didn't you used to party, W?
I partied a long time ago. I've seen the light. Now, the only printed party partner for me is the Holy Bible. Each and every day. I read verses after I run.
Really?
3 miles a day after I sleep and eat.
What's your favorite part of the Bible?
I like the cover. All right, Gene, you're in control.
Okay, Chris Rock movies for three. You mean the part that says the Bible
or Holy Bible? King James Bible. Especially if it's nice leather. just like my boots.
Chris Rock movie for three. Co-stars Ben Affleck, Matt Damon.
Oh, what is Dogma?
Yeah, great. I love that movie. Excellent.
Way to go, Gene. You're in control still.
Well, let's finish up with the on this board for XFL team names.
All right. This is the last category on the board now. Name that XFL team. For one, here you go, Gene. Los Angeles.
Don't know.
Hey, Jimmy, how about you? Jimmy, how about this XFL category, son? You think you can do it for me?
What is Los Angeles Extreme?
That one he gets.
That's $1. Knows it's XFL. Select again, son.
Let's stay with XFL for two, please.
How about Chicago?
What is Chicago Hitman?
No, sorry there, Jim.
Hey, Gene, it's your chance to steal in this macho machismo thingy category.
What are the Chicago Predators?
No. Oh, that's a good guess, though.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, we're ready to go to final love on your Jeff Hardy. Let's see, Gene, Jimmy, you still there?
Yes.
All right, and are you still with us from Mexico, Mr. President?
Yeah, down here in Mexico. Don, how you doing here? How do the people in Washington?
Have you bombed anybody since you've been on the show with us?
I sure as hell hope so. We're pressing those buttons any time they ask me. If he's got a medal on, I'll do it. He said, Mr. President, let him fly. I'll let him fly, by Jesus.
Okay, here is your category, guys. On final low-budget Jeopardy, we'll, of course, we physically force you both to bet it all. Here it is. Most common word. Oh, damn, this is an easy one. I bet even you get this one, Mr. President.
You're damn right I will. I'm the President of the United States. I got it going off.
According to a survey of American newspapers, in the year 2000, this was the most common word used in all print media. Okay? So out of every story written, this was the most common word. Don't forget, especially you, Jimmy, answer in the form of a question and... good luck.
Yeah, how about you, Jimmy? All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the W Boot Book, a jam-packed book of cowboy boots, page after page of my favorite footwear. I got lots of them. From fancy alligator with W on them to my backyard manure kickers. The W Boot Book's a boot lover's bonanza for big-time boot bucks.
Well, your kit shickers.
Begging for better boots from Bama to Bighorn. Ha-do-da-do-dee. Now back to final low-budget Jeopardy for the Alex Perfectoronimo.
Hey, where'd you learn that how-do-da-do-da-dee?
How about boy Rob Spiewak, big contributor to my campaign, like Minded America. Okay. How about you, Rob?
Okay, here we go. We're going to go to Jimmy first.
That's right. Jimmy's little man on the totem pole. How about you, Jim?
Jimbo, the most common word according to a study of American newspapers in the year 2000. This was the most common word.
What is the?
Or the.
Way to go, Jimmy. You got it. You double your score to $4.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Hello.
Gene, you kick his ass if you have the right answer.
What is the?
The, that's right. You got it, Gene. That makes you our low-budget
champion.
Yeah, that's right.
Good job,
Gene. The answer was the.
Wonderful job there.
Hook'em
and,
horns.
And what was that, Gene?
Hook'em horns.
Hook'em horns. How about you, Gene? You're a good Texas gal.
Congratulations, Gene. You are the big money winner. George W. will tell you about your money in just a moment.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. I had a lot of fun. Congratulations, lady.
Don't go away. Lady. Her name's Gene, son. I don't respect. Don't go away, mad. Just go away. Here's George W. Bush. Tell you about your money. Your prize is George W. Bush.
First of all, Gene, double your score to $30.
Beauty.
We throw in a $25 bonus for a total of $55. That'll help you and all the other laugh technicians out there.
Technicians.
But wait a minute. Hey, here's your prize, Jimmy.
All right.
I tell you, we don't give away good ones on this show very often, but I'll tell you, you hit the mother load today. Son, are you ready for this?
A hypodermic needle.
Nah, you listen to this. Listen good. This will help you out. Here's big time prize. You won a 7-Eleven Dark Mountain Roast Coffee prize pack.
Oh, yeah.
Stop by participating in 7-Eleven stores each Wednesday this month for a free sample of their no Dark Mountain Roast Coffee. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven.
Thank you, Mr. Bush.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thank you, Gene. And Jimmy, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, kids, and thank you so much for listening. Hey, Mr. Bush, off the top of your head.
Yeah.
When you add up 7-Eleven, what do you get?
you get 81.
No, you don't.
You take the one and add it to the seven, and then you get a one hanging out there to make it 81.
That's 18.
Yeah, sure it is. Okay, smart fella.
How do you spell it?
See if I come back on this program again.
How do you spell Iraq?
I-R-I-K.
Okay.
You know how I spell it? B-O-M-B, pal.
What's that spell?
Bomb.
All right.
I've dropped a lot of bombs on
it. Yeah. Do your fingernails grow?
They sure do. Bill Smith was a big contributor to my gubernatorial campaign. I like Smith.
President Bush.
Yes, sir, Donald.
Always remember, never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Foreign Incorporated and ADOs from Mexico down here. Check out my bitch ass for the president. Feel
it. AMF. As they used to say down at
Mexico. Here we go. News comments now. Guy J. Birdley.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
they're both
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz?
Yes.
You got one segment tonight.
I know.
So you got to cram the good stuff in there.
You got it.
What is your lead story tonight, Buzzy?
To quote our president on this very program, our flyboys put a whooping on Iraq.
Gotcha. That's I-R-A-K, everybody.
That's right.
And we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very professorial. Professional.
Number one, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestar?
Proudly, down to only two herpes pills a day.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time now for Buzz's News and Comments, tonight brought to you by eGars.com. Visit eGars.com and check out the Hoyo de Monterey Excalibur Sampler for super premium cigars, $18.95. Order online.
You're my angel. Good morning, angel.
Is this you, Newton?
No, this is Shaggy. Baby. Or call 877-81-EGARS. Buzzy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. American and British warplanes bombed five military targets in Iraq today. President Bush, who's in Mexico today, gave the order yesterday from Washington. He says the bombing was just the routine enforcement of the no-fly zone.
USA.
USA.
The Pentagon calls it self-defense. Iraq's been threatening U.S. and British planes lately, and this attack took out radar installations and other military communications equipment. Iraq says it also took one life and injured nine people.
Yay.
The bombing started at about 9 p.m. their time as Iraqi citizens were headed home after prayer services. The bombing lasted a little over 45 minutes, and all the Allied planes made it back safely.
Well, there you go. Victory, USA.
Mission accomplished. Inflation's a-coming. Wholesale prices shot up by a surprising 1.1% in January.
Corn's coming. Come on.
Biggest jump in 10 years. Surprising because experts expected only about 0.3% increase, but prices were up for food, cars, and most of all, natural gas. In another report out today, factory output was down. Wall Street didn't like any of this news. The Dow closed down 91 points, NASDAQ down 128.
How's that Infinity stock doing?
Oh, I'm sure it's just fine.
Like, I'm going to keep reading that Infinity is, like, the most profitable radio company in the world.
Yeah.
And like, the fourth quarter was the best fourth quarter in the history of the company. And the stock is worth, like, 10 cents more than when I bought it 5 years ago.
Yeah, welcome to the stock market. Constantly reinvesting that money.
I had a nice conversation with the guys that do that today, you know?
Yeah.
Stock market kind of guys.
Yeah.
It's fun. Real refreshing, too. And reassuring. Because I have consumer confidence now.
I'll bet.
Absolutely. Except things should be okay in about 1 to 3 years.
Well, hang in there.
I swear to God, that's what the guy said to me. Yeah, things will be okay in about 1 to 3 years. I said, thank you.
You want to feel great about the stock market? Watch Boiler Room.
Oh.
I saw that movie on Stars last night.
Yeah.
That was an unheralded movie that did crappy box office.
That with Ben Affleck?
Yeah, although he has a small role.
Uh-huh.
It's Giovanni Mussolini, whatever the guy's name.
Yeah.
I know it's not Mussolini.
Right.
Excellent movie. I highly recommend it.
It didn't get any credit when it was
out. Really, really, really good.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
And they kind of like show what the how BS the whole thing.
Yeah. How they get people to, you know, give all the money, and it's just a pyramid scheme. And
right.
It's a scam, and it's great.
The man who drove Puff Daddy's getaway car says the rap star did have a gun the night the gun was on fire at a New York nightclub.
Go, Puffy. Go, Puffy.
Sean Puffy Combs is accused of illegal possession of a firearm and of trying to bribe a witness. The driver says Puffy's guilty of both. 42-year-old Wardell Woody Fenderson spent the entire day on the witness stand yesterday and part of today.
And he was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you read any of the excerpts of his comments, but he was funny. I mean, not intentionally. At one point, the judge had to say, knock it off.
Right, he was being too flip. He was outsmarting the lawyers oftentimes.
No. He wasn't being flip. He was funny.
Really?
They'd answer him a question. He would answer it, but he would have a legitimate, funny answer.
Good. Well, he stuck to his story throughout, despite the intensive grilling. He says he saw Puffy tucking into his waistband a black handgun that night, and Fenderson says Combs offered him a $50,000 bribe to tell the cops the gun belonged to the driver, not to the rap star. Today, the driver testified that Puffy did that, offered the bribe, to protect Jennifer Lopez and her career from the bad publicity.
Oh, my. Don't bring that big ass into this.
And they're over now. I mean, she's not sticking by him through thick and thin.
It doesn't look good for Puff, does it?
He's a new guy. It doesn't look good right now, no.
You know, when she broke up with him, I think that was the clearest sign. Because, I don't want to slam Jennifer Lopez. Who knows what the real deal is. But do you get the impression that maybe her peoples, you know, that were surrounding her just said...
Oh, listen, they've been saying that to her
right,
the last
I've
two
read
years.
That, yes.
You know, as soon as... First time she had her picture taken with her, they're like, hey, J-Lo, what you doing? Girl,
everybody loves a winner. He helped her career, so she stood by him as long as she felt she could afford to. New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani's on the warpath again against some more outrageous art at the Brooklyn Museum.
What?
This time it's a photograph that's styled after the painting of the Last Supper. In the photo, the disciples are all black men, and instead of Christ in the center, there's a naked woman. It's entitled Yo Mama's Last Supper.
What's he uptight about? Come on, it's a painting.
It's better than the last one. Didn't the last one have like someone taking a crap on the Virgin Mary?
It had elephant dung on the painting of the Virgin Mary. Yeah.
And then we go all the way back to Mapplethorpe, right? With the bullwhip. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Well, Giuliani calls this new photo disgusting and anti-Catholic. And he says he'll set up a commission to set decency standards for the museum and other taxpayer-funded cultural institutions. The last time Giuliani took on artwork he didn't like, he lost. A court ruled he was overstepping his power by trying to cut the museum's funding.
I'm disgusting and anti-Catholic, and I stand behind those virtues.
Way to go, because you stand behind the First Amendment, though.
Right.
That's right.
Which one is that, Mike?
The first one.
One more, Buzzy.
A paraplegic says other XFL fans threw him out of his wheelchair during a game at the L.A. Coliseum. Coliseum management says 46-year-old Al Gravino.
No,
that's
just not
funny. I certainly
not
wasn't having a thought.
Not funny.
Not at all.
Coliseum management says the 46-year-old Al Gravino got caught in the middle of a fight last weekend and got pushed over a metal plate.
Oh, for you.
Trevino fell head first into the seats below and was left in a pool of blood and beer with a gash in his head. His 13-year-old nephew tried to help, but he too got soaked in beer thrown at him by fellow fans. Paramedics took Al to the hospital where he got 6 stitches in his head. Coliseum officials say they'll beef up security now. As for Trevino, he says he's not going to another XFL game until the Coliseum installs a rail to protect folks with disabilities.
Right. Thank you, Bud. Sorry about the short shift on the news tonight.
Right.
But,
you got the important stuff in.
Too much friggin' show today.
Too many.
Call 100 right now. A prize pack selection especially for you. Call now, dial recklessly. Phone number 877-365-3636. The call 100 right now.
Number 1, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, the Dallas Mavericks had such a big lead, they could have just run out the clock. Instead, they kept pushing, trying to score at least 100 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did that because Taco Bell had promised free Chalupa coupons for the home crowd if the Mavs won with 100 points or more.
Drop the Chalupa, sir.
The Cavaliers didn't take kindly to the humiliation, and with just 3 seconds left on the clock, a shoving match broke out between the two teams. By the way, Dallas owner Mark Cuban today was fined $10,000 and suspended for two games.
Again?
He is loopy.
Running onto the court when the fight broke out.
That would make me tune in. I'm not a big basketball fan, but I would tune in to see that guy.
I think he's a record setter. The Cavs' Robert Taylor was fined $5,000. He's out for one game. Oh, by the way, in the end, Dallas won 102-81, backed by a crowd chanting, Chalupa, Chalupa. He's considered the best closer in baseball, and now Mariano Rivera has a contract to prove it. The 31-year-old has just signed a 4-year, $40 million contract with the Yankees.
New York Yankees. Mike, that is simply...
Well, that's no news. I mean, I've known that for, like, the whole... I mean,
I know
they weren't going to let him go.
But it's finalized now.
Right. Yeah.
So that it's just like another big clump of your hair being pulled out.
No, because I knew it was coming. It would be, if they got somebody new, you know, that's the same guy they've had all the way along.
The same guy who kicks ass all the time.
He's fantastic. But you wait till the Red Sox go to the World Series this year.
But now Mariano is stoked that he's the highest paid reliever in baseball. And finally...
I am so stoked.
He is a Terminator, though. I think he's the best reliever in baseball.
Finally, this is not your father's whorehouse. The Kit Kat Ranch east of Carson City, Nevada is asking the county commission to let it expand its operation. Not more hookers, more amenities like a sports bar, a microbrewery, a tanning salon, and a fitness center.
All right.
The ranch is also asking for more parking to accommodate tour buses.
Ew. That's gross.
Why?
That's the first thing that's gross.
Why? Like, it's a bus thing, guys, as opposed to 50 guys just driving their own cars there.
Yeah, just gross getting off a bus. No, that's like stinky eggs.
It's a whorehouse.
Kit Kat Ranch says it wants tourists to be able to stop by and pick up a souvenir.
I got a souvenir.
Yeah.
The old crabs.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No. Got to go. Have a great, great 3-day weekend, everybody.
Wow.
Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bard. Back Monday with the all new episode. We'll start the trolling for strip trivia. Get all the plans ready for the trip to Reno.
Hey, Reno, Sacramento, Tahoe, everybody out there, strip trivia. If you've always wanted to play and you've always heard of him here, it's your chance.
Yep, we'll start that next week. Also next week, we're giving away NASCAR trips.
Ooh.
God, all of a sudden we're knee-deep in this NASCAR ad.
Yeah.
Giving away trips to North Carolina to go see NASCAR. And next week, my mistake, get ready for a slew of mystery guests. Slew. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. I like that. Very assertive. What's your name?
My name is Dan.
Dan, where are you from?
Front Royal.
Dan, you won the 7-Eleven Dark Mountain Roast Coffee Prize Pack.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. 7-Eleven has reached the peak of coffee flavor with Mountain Roast. Oh, thank heaven.
For 7-Eleven.
For 7-Eleven.
Mountain Roast.
Thank you, my friend.
God bless you.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to the show on WJFK.
Do the same. Thank you.
There are still some pictures up from the blind date on 106.7 WJFK.com.
Mm-hmm.
And best of luck to Colin and Laura and Charlie and Laura and Dennis and everybody else we saw.
Absolutely.
That's it. Got to go. Listen to Dennis Murphy this weekend on KCJJ in Iowa City, Iowa. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Goddamn right, Mike. And Robbie.
How about you, Don?
If you don't mind, throw your Santa Claus hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it
God.
Wow, you should be singing 9 to 5.
See you on Tuesday.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.